Yesterday we left off in the middle of the Tesis Vav Amud Aleph. Tesis is trying to prove their point that Mechila Eina Tzricha Kinyan. Nira L'Havi Raya, the Mechila Eina Tzricha Kinyan, and they give one Raya after the other. They say, some of the Rayas are not so Mukhrach, some of the Rayas are more Mukhrach. So one of the Rayas that Tesis mentioned is really worth discussing a little more at length. The Raya from Kiddushin Daf Tezayin. Tesis alludes to a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. They say, according to Shmuel, hold them after the Yosef Becheres, that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel in Gittin. They don't tell you. That's not in Kiddushin Daf Tezayin. That's in Gittin, around Mem Gimel, Mem Dalet Asal. The Gemara presents a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel if I'm mafker an Eved Kenayni. That's not talking about an Eved Ibri at all. The mafker an Eved Kenayni, so we know that Hefker works on any property that a person owns. A person owns Karfa Metalfel and his mafker is. So it becomes Hefker, doesn't belong to him. So the question is, what if a person is mafker his Eved Kenayni? So why not mafker the Eved Kenayni? People own the Eved Kenayni, Kishor, Bachamoro. Say mafker it, so it doesn't belong to you. The question is, the Avni Miluim is a Sefer on Ebenezer that's written by the same author as the Ktos HaChosh. So the Avni Miluim, in the end of the Sefer, has a section that he calls Shailas HaTshuvas. It's not really Shailas that anybody asked him, it just means the essays, longer essays, as opposed to the whole Avni Miluim, which is a running commentary on the Shulchan Aruch HaMenezer. In the end he has these long essays. So he has one of the essays, the most famous essay, is about this topic. The Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel by Mafke Rab the Yotzel Acheres, but the Tzor Get Shichur and Tzor Get Shichur. What's the issue? So he quotes from the Rishonim and he develops this idea that when a person owns an Eved Kenayni, he has two kinyonim. You have a kinyon Momin and you have a kinyon Issa. I own the Eved Kenayni Kishori Vachamori. That's the expression that the Gemara has in Bava Kama. That the Odin owns the Eved Kenayni. It's not. It doesn't mean that just like you have a right to Shech Kishori Vachamori, you have a right to Shech the Eved Kenayni. There's a din of Leisirta. I own him. That he has to do work for me. I have a Kinyan Mammon on the Eved Kenayni, but he's still a human being. And then, in addition to the Kinyan Mammon, I also have a Kinyan Issa. What do you mean a Kinyan Issa? The Eved Kenayni belongs to me with respect to the Hetter. Where do you see that that is the case? So the Gemara in Orel, in the first daf in Yevamos Perika Orel, the Gemara says that there is a difference between Eved Ivri and Eved Kenayni with respect to Achilas Korban Pesach. He can only eat Korban Pesach if you are one of the Menuyim. At the time of Shechitas HaPesach, the Pesach, the one who shechts it has to have in mind, he doesn't have to necessarily know who the Menuyim are, but he has in mind that this Korban Pesach is being nishkad on behalf of those who are Memunim. And if you're not one of the Menuhim, then you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. And even if you eat the Korban Pesach, you're not going to be out to the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. So the Gemara draws a distinction between an Eved Ivri as opposed to an Eved Kenayni. An Eved Ivri is a free man. He has to do work for the Odom. Look, he sold himself in the next 6 years. So he's an Eved Ivri to the Odom. But as far as everything else is concerned, on Shabbos and Yonta, but he can't do any malachas, then he's a free man. So on Leil Pesach, he can eat from anybody's Korban Pesach. His girlfriend, his boyfriend, whatever, family, yeah, he can go wherever he wants. He does need permission from his Odon to become a Mamuna on a Korban Pesach. He's on his own. As opposed to an Eved Kenayni, he cannot become a Mamuna on a Korban Pesach without authorization from the Odon. That the Odon has a bailos on the Eved Kenayni with respect to Issa Veheta. That's called a Kinyan Issa. The Rishonim coined the term. The Ramban, the Ritva. That's called Kinyan Issa. We usually assume that there's another difference between Eved Ivri and Eved Kenayni that indicates that there's a Kinyan Issa by the Eved Kenayni and there's not Kinyan Issa by the Eved Ivri, namely, an Eved Kenayni shall koy in a zechel to Truma. Kohanim can eat Truma. And the Eved Kenayni, the Behemoth Kohen eats Truma, and the Eved Kenayni Eved Kohen eats Truma. But the Eved Ivri Eved Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma. That's the Pasuk. Toshav Kohen V'Socher Lo Yochel Boi. So the Toshav V'Socher, the Pasuk Pshat Toshav V'Socher means an employee of the Kohen is not permitted to, whether he's a sleeping butler or he's a hired person who goes home. Toshav, I would have said Toshav means a sleeping butler, and a Sochem means a fellow who was in my employ. And he goes home. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, the beginning of Kiddushin, says Toshav and Socher refers to the two brands of Eved Ivri. There's an Eved Ivri before the Sheish, then there's an Eved Ivri after Sheish, who's called an Eved Nirtza, who stays until Yehom. So the Toshav and Socher refers to the both kinds of Eved Ivri, whether he's an Eved Ivri before Sheish and Eved Ivri of a Nirtza, Eved Nirtza, neither of them is allowed to eat Truma. So what's the Biur? Why is it that we distinguish between the two? So the Pashtus is then an Eved Kenayni, there's a Kenyan Issa. An Eved Ivri, there is no Kenyan Issa. Look, that's the Pashtus Pshat in the Gemara. So now the Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Mem Gimel, has this machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel. What's the din of someone is Mafkir Abdo? Person has an Eved Kenayni. And the ownership that he has on the Avitani is double, two parts to it. It has a Kenyan moment and a Kenyan Isser. And any moment that you own, you can be Mafkir. And a Kenyan Isser, the assumption is, doesn't make sense to be Mafkir. You can't be Mafkir a Kenyan Isser. The Ramban brings a Raya. How can you prove that Hefkir is not Chal on a Kenyan Isser? Maybe Hefkir is Chal on any ownership, whether Kenyan moment, Kenyan Isser. So the Ramban brings a little bit funny Raya. He says if a couple is married, and the husband is mafkir his wife, she doesn't become muteris lehinasi lashuk. So the answer is, I would have said the answer is he doesn't have either a kinyan moment or a kinyan isa. They're married. It's not a kinyan isa. So the Ramban, that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. Whether marriage, there's certainly no kinyan moment. That's the question. The husband doesn't own his wife. The shayla, does he even have a kinyan isa? The halacha that doesn't allow the woman to be mezana, is that because she belongs to her husband? The husband owns the wife with respect to the din of Lysina. He doesn't own his wife. There's a din of Ishus. There's not a Kenyan mom, not a Kenyan Ishus either. So that seems to be a machlokes harishonim. It's famous. It started as a machlokes achronim, historically. That started it. It's famous as a machlokes of Yeshua and Avni Miluim. The Pnei Yeshua writes on Kiddushin that when the Gemara requires the Tukim to say that in Kiddushin Tufs and Barayas, if a man is Mekadosh's sister, his mother, his sister-in-law, Mekadosh a woman, where there's an Issa Kares, a Chavi Krisis, that in Kiddushin Tufsin, so the Pnei Yeshua writes, he thinks that the Tukim are only necessary by other Arayas, but by Yeshus Ish, if he marries someone else's wife, of course the Kiddushin are not Tufsin, she's sold already. Once she agreed to marry her first husband, she already belongs to the first husband. She gave herself over to the first husband. So it's Eidon Mechadav Hashem Shalom. Let's say I own a house and I sell a house to some person. And tomorrow I sell the same house to someone else. So you can't sell a house a second time. Once you already sold it to the first owner, it no longer belongs to you. So you can't give over ownership to the second owner. So the same Yeshua says, the same is true regarding marriage. Once the girl agrees to marry the first husband, once she's married to him, so how can she marry herself off to the second husband? So Yeshua understands that marriage, whether the father is marrying off the daughter or the daughter is old enough to marry herself off, so it's considered as if the husband owns a wife. In what sense does he own a wife? Kenyanisa. Certainly not a Kenyan mom, but it's a Kenyanis. That's what the Pnei Yeshua writes. He says, the Gemara didn't need a pasuk to teach me that Enki, Dushin, Tovsin, Beishasish, that's as far as Pshuta, because once she gave herself over, she can't give herself over to another person. And the Avne Miluim claims that it's against the Gemara. He says that it's not true. And his argument is that the husband doesn't have either a kinyan moment or a kinyan. He says there are no kinyanim. The way to get married is by performing a kinyan kesef. You do kesef, but the chalois is not a kinyan kesef. Chalois is not a kinyan. Chalois is ishus. It's a maisi kinyan. The Mishnah used the expression hoisha niknis. It's a maisi kinyan. And the series of Mishnayos and the first parak in Kiddushin are how do you get married? How do you sell karka? How do you sell metalkum? How do you sell an eved ivri? How do you sell an eved kenayni? And how do you sell karka with metalkum? Kinyan agav. All about giving over ownership. So the series of Mishnayos begins with Risha Niknis, is if the woman is selling herself over to her husband, but the Bnei Yeshua understands it's not really, there isn't really a sale. It's a maisi kinyan, and the chalois is a chalois ishus. The chalois is not a chalois kinyan. So that's famous machlokes, the Pnei Yeshua and the Avne Miluim. Then if you look back in the Rishonim, it seems that it's a mafurish and machlokes in the Rishonim, because the Gemara in in Ksubis and the Gemara in Kiddush and other Mesichtas, the Gemara mainly in Ksubis, because in Ksubis we have a Sheet of Mekubetas, in Kiddush we don't yet. So the Gemara in Ksubis learns out from the Pasuk that an Eishes Koyin, an Eishes Koyin is a Chelos Betruma, even if there's only Eris. So the Gemara says, how do you know that even in Arusa, even if the woman is married to the Koyin, she herself is not a Kohen, she's a Yisraelis or a Leviyah. But nonetheless, because she's married to a Kohen, so she's permitted to Truma. So the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, the Kohen keeps the Nefesh, Kinyan Kaspo. If the Kohen buys a Behemoth with his money, so the Behemoth Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. So if the Kohen gets married, Kiddushi Kester, Kohen keeps the Nefesh, Kinyan Kaspo, so the wife is also allowed to eat Truma. So the Rishonim ask a question, how do you know that if the Kohen was Mekadosh the wife with Kiddushi Shtar or Kiddushi Biyah, how do you know that in such a case also she's a Chelos Betruma? Maybe the Pasuk only goes on Kinyan Kesef. The way we get married, we give a ring. Shavu Kesef is Kikesef. How do you know that even if it's Kiddushi Shtar? So the Sheet in Kubetis on Tzubis quotes the Rishonim who discuss it. On Kiddushim we don't have any Sheet in Kubetis. So you don't have the Rishonim in Kiddushim, we don't have Rishonim who discuss it. But on Ksubas, on this daf, the Rishonim discuss it. So after the Rishonim answer, Kinyan Kaspo teaches you Kiddushe Kesef, and then you have Makish Havayis Lahadadi. There is a Hekish somewhere that indicates that all the forms of getting married are all the same. But since the Pasuk says if the Kohen marries his wife Ayidei Kesef, she's a Chelos Betruma, so the Hekish would teach you that the same is true regarding Kiddushe Shtar and Kiddushe Dil. Now the Rishonim say, Kinyan Kaspo doesn't mean necessarily that he was Mekadosh Ayidei Kesef. Kinyan Kaspa means his property. Kohen Kik, then Nefesh Kinyan Kaspa. If a Kohen acquires any live animal, either a Behemoth Kohen or an Eishes Kohen, he acquires it to be his property. So what's the difference by hook or by crook how he acquires it, whether it acquires Kedusha Kesef or Kedusha Shtar or Kedusha Bia? The Pasuk doesn't mean Kinyan Kaspa, he was Mekadosh Bekesef. The Pasuk means that he owns the wife. So does Rishonim think that he really owns his wife? Kinyanista. Doesn't mean a Kinyan mom. Means a Kinyanista. So it seems to be a Machlokes of Rishonim. Is there a Kinyanista? Not just a Machlokes of Bnei Yeshua and Avdim Iluim, whether there's a Kinyanista. Kinyan mom, for sure there isn't. Whether there's a Kinyanista by a wife, it seems to be a Machlokes of Rishonim. And then there is a Sefer called Marcheshes, Barapenach Egish. He was a Dayan in Vilna at the same time as Rav Chaim Moshe. He was older. Older than Rav Chaim Moshe. And he outlived Rav Chaim Moshe. Rav Chaim Moshe died pretty young. So the Marcheshes writes in his introduction, he was a Talmud of the Beis HaLevi. He has the old style of learning. He doesn't go for this newfangled Brisker style. He makes fun of the chemical analysis of all the Gemaras, and you dissect everything. He learned by the Beis HaLevi, normal. He doesn't go for this stuff. So in his Sefer, he raises this issue, whether there's a Kinyan Isser or not. So he shows that it's a Machlokes Amoraim in the Yushalmi, in Yevamos. And made what's famous as a Machlokes of Pnei Yeshua and Avnei Miluim. So others point out it's Machlokes Arishonim. So he shows it sounds like it's really a Machlokes Amoraim in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So now, the Ramban poses a question. Why does a married couple need a get? It says in the Chumash, in order to allow the woman to remarry, the husband has to give the wife a get. Why does he need a get? Why doesn't he just declare, I am hereby mafkir my wife? So one could have given a simple answer. What do you mean? Hefker can only take effect on property that you own. Either you have a Kinyan woman or you Kinyan Issa, but the wife you don't own at all. That could have been a simple answer. So the Ramban apparently thinks that answer is not correct. He thinks that the husband does own the wife, a Kinyan Issa, and the wife. So he's bothered with this question, why can't a husband be mafkir his wife? Why does it say in Chumash there's only one route to take? The only Kenyan that frees the woman to remarry is a guest. Why can't the husband be mafkir the wife? So this prompts the Ramban to come up with his chiddush that hefker is a gzeiras hakosev, that such a thing exists. We know when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the whole world, everything was hefker, it was up for grabs, and anybody can grab whatever they want. Now the question is, once someone is zechem in a hefker and everything belongs to somebody or another, how do you know that you can revert the property back to its original state? Maybe once it belongs to someone, it can't revert back to the, attain the state of hefker. So the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk that there is such a thing. and Parshas Mishpatim. The Pasuk says twice, Tishmitena, you should be mafke the Perishviz, and you should be mafke the Perishviz. Why does it say twice? Ladiba Terakulishan Mani Adam. So the extra expression, Tishmitena, Unatashta, goes on the Perishviz. Becoming Hefker teaches us, Yeshlach Netisha Cherishi Kazu, that all 7 years, there's another kind of Hefker. The person is mafke his property, right? He can make his property hefker. When it comes Shnat HaShemitah, it's a special din, the Perishvisi, to become hefker automatically, or it's a mitzvah on the farmer to declare it as hefker. It's also like it's how to reap shat in the pasuk. But there's a din that the Perishvisi is our hefker, and then the extra word in the Tashna teaches me that it's possible to be mafker other property as well. So the Shaila is that pasuk that says Tishmentenu and the Tashna, that's Mechadish, it's such an institution as hefker, does that only apply to a Bailus of Mominus, does it even apply, or maybe it even applies to Kinyanisa? So Ramban says, no, that's out of the question. How can it apply to a Kinyanisa? A husband would be able to be mafke his wife, and she would be materis lihinasi lashuk. So the fact that that doesn't go is a hechach that hefker isn't chal on a Kinyanisa. So the Ramban says, these are all the premises that are given before you begin learning this machlekes, Rav Shmuel and Gittin. What's the din hamafker avdo yotze lecheres? If a person has an eved kenayni and is mafker the eved kenayni, and the hefker is chal on the kinyamamim, so what's the story with the kinyanisa? So the din is hefker. The Ramban says we know already in advance, but it's given. One of the premises of the discussion is that hefker is not chal on the kinyanisa. So the Ramban says, yeah, the Gemara continues to have this discussion. That the pasuk says regarding korban pesach, "Cholevin ish miknas kesef, umalta also oz yochal bo." If a person has an eved kenayni and he wants the eved kenayni to eat the korban pesach, he has to be mal the eved kenayni. Tells my eved kenayni is not mal, the eved is not permitted to eat korban pesach. We even paskin, "Cholevin ish miknas kesef, umalta also only if you mal the eved oz yochal bo, then the yodin can eat the korban pesach." The milas avod of miakfosim alechol the korban pesach. That's the machlok satanoim. How do you translate the words of the pasuk? Malta osa, should be mal the evik 90, oz yochal bo. Then he can eat from the korban pesach. Who can eat? The evik 90 can eat? Well, that's pshita. Of course the evik 90 can eat. I have a different pasuk, kolor lo yochal bo. I don't need a repeat of that pasuk. It means the malta osa, if you're not mal the evik 90, the yodon cannot eat. Malta osa, if you're mal the evik, oz yochal bo, the yodon can eat. That's how we pasuk him. Oz yochal bo, the yodon. Alright, so you have this pasuk, Chalev Edish, Miknas Kesef, and Malta Osa Gemba. So the Gemara doesn't understand why it says Evedish. What is it? Evedish, Vulay Evedisha? The din only applies if it's a man who has an Eved Kenayni. And what if there's a Jewish woman who has an Eved Kenayni, who possesses an Eved Kenayni, who's not Gemal? It prevents her also from meeting in the Korban Pesach. Mila, so Eved Miyakvosel, La Odin, Lechel, the Korban Pesach, whether the Odin is a male or a female. The Gemara is bonded with the word chalevedish. She just said chalevet kenayni, chalevet. Malta also, ozi ochalto. If you're not mal the eved, the odon is not allowed to eat the korban pesach, no matter who the odon is, whether it's a male or a female. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. What do you do with that word of chalevedish? So one of the Shmuel says chalevedish. Eved ish v'lo eved isha. It doesn't make any sense. Ella eved she eved ish. If the eved is owned by a balabas who owns him, ish is not in the sense of male versus female. Ish versus isha. Ish in the sense of the boss. If the eved has a boss, then it's miyakim milechol the korban pesach. But if the eved doesn't have a boss because the boss was mafke the eved, so he already gave up the kinyan mammon, so the kinyan iser also disappears. The kinyan iser can't be directly affected by Hefka. Hefka cannot be chal on the Kinyan Iser, but indirectly, once you mafke the Kinyan Mammon, the Mimele, the Kinyan Iser vanishes into thin air. The Kinyan Iser is contingent on the Kinyan Mammon. Whenever there's no Kinyan Mammon, there can't be a Kinyan Iser. That's what Shmuel holds. And we don't pass on like Shmuel. Hilchus Kerab the Isure, Uki Shmuel Bedina, the Gemara says, whenever, the Gemara says in the end of Chorus, whenever there's Machlekes Rav Shmuel, so most of the time, if it's a machlekes in the area of Issa Behetah, we'll pass like Rav. And most of the time, if it's in the area of Dina Mamonis, we'll pass like Shmuel. So this is Issa Behetah, so we pass like Rav against Shmuel. That Amafke Rav do Yotze Lecheres, yes. Hefker is called Ankarka, Metalplim, Anevikneini. Hefker is called on any ownership. However, Tzorach Yet Shichur, the Hefker is not called on the Kinyan Issa. And even Shmuel also agrees basically to that, that Hefka cannot be Chala Nikinyanisa directly, but Haraya, the Ramban says, a man can be Mafkir his wife and allow her to and say she's permitted to remarry because he doesn't have a Kinyanisa, all he has is Kinyanisa. But on the Evik 90, one is contingent on the other. The same thing, let's say I own an Evik 90 and I sell him to someone else. So an Evik 90 is Sukesh Lekarka. So whatever Kinyon, work on Karka and work on an Evik 90. So let's say I sell my Evik 90 to somebody else. So when I sell him, when I transfer the ownership to someone else, the Kinyonim that the Mishnayis formulate in the first parak in Kiddushin are only Kinyonim that enable you to transfer the ownership of the Kinyamamim. How do you transfer the Kinyanisa? So the Rishonim said, once the Kinyamamim goes over to someone else, the Kinyanisa schleps along. That's self-understood. That's a double pasha like that. This is a machlokes. If you mafke the Kinyamamim, do you say, once you mafke the Kinyamamim, so the Kinyanisa also disappears, just like if you sell the Kinyamamim to someone else, so the Kinyanisa tags along, it goes along with it. Or should I say, no, that's only by selling to someone else, but by mafkir, if you mafkir the Evet Kanaini, so the Kinyamamim Shabo will be affected with the Hefker, and the Kinyanisa will remain. So that's how we pass from like Rav, again, Shmuel, HaMafkir Abdo, it means Evet Kanaini, Yotza Lecheres, it's Tzorach Get Shichrur, to free the Kinyanisa. The Kozman that he doesn't have the Shtar Shichrur, so he still retains the status of an Evik 90 with respect to Yisav Ehetta. So how would that play out by Evid Ivri? This whole discussion that we just had, what would the din be by Evid Ivri? Let's say someone is Mafker Evid Ivri. So Taisa's opinion is, yesterday we mentioned there's a Machlekes Taisa's in the Ramban. Is there a Kinyanisa by Evid Ivri? So the Ramban says, sure there is. Ramban says, of course there's a Kinyanisa by Eved Ivri, even though the Eved Ivri is Ein Oichel the Chuma, and even though the Eved Ivri does need authorization of the Adam to participate in Korban Pesach, he can become a Mamun on the Korban Pesach on his own, he's his own man, but still, there is a din of Kinyanisa. There is an effect on the Eved Ivri in the area of Yisrael Heter by an Eved Ivri Baharai that is Mutta B'Shil Chakninus. Normally, there is a pasuk in Chumash that says Lo Yeh Kodesh Min Bnei Yisrael V'Lo Tzia Kidesh Min Bnei Yisrael. What does that mean? Lo Yeh Kodesh. So the Targum Onkelos translates on that pasuk, a Jewish man is not permitted to live with a Shil Chakninus. Lo Tzia Kidesh means a Jewish woman is not permitted to live with an Eved Kanaini. Why are they not allowed to? Because they Kiddushin Tovsin. Since there's no Tzvi Kiddushin between an Eved and a Bas Yisrael, so it's going to be a Bias Nus. So that's the prohibition of Leah Kadesh for Leah Kadesh. That's what the Targum Onkelos says. And we assume, Alpha, the Targum Onkelos seems to be assuming that that's a Din Minator, Alfi Pashtus. The Rambam writes otherwise. The Rambam writes that it's only with the Rabbanon. This prohibition to live with the Shiv Chatzinus is only with the Rabbanon. But he says he shouldn't be Mizalzal on this Sisir. It's a serious Sisir. Baharaya, that Onkelos Hager, in his translation of Kumish, read it into the Pasuk of Leah Kadesh Leah Kadesh. From the Rambam it sounds like the whole prohibition is only the Rabbanan and the Unkelus is Pshat is only an Asmachta, which is problematic because the Gemara in Tzemura seems to say that it's a real Din Daraisa, Leah Kodesh Lithikadesha. The Yisr via B'Shivcho Knainis seems from the Gemara to be an Yisr Daraisa. It's a problem with the Rambam. Some want to say the Rambam never meant what he says. Kemat Beferish says it, that the whole Yisr is only the Rabbanan, what Unkelus said is only a Kumra. But leaving out the Rambam for a while, so we assume, Al-Pi Pashtus, that the Yisr Shifcha, the Yisrael, and the Yisr Eved Kanaini from marrying Israelis is an Yisr Deraisa. And nonetheless, if you have an Eved Kanaini, if you have an Eved Ivri, the Eved Ivri is permitted to live with the Shifcha Kanainis. So you see that his halachas are different from in the area of Yisr Beheter, as long as he has the status of an Eved Ivri. Once he's Yisr B'Sheish, once he goes out, after the 6 years are up, or once he's yotze b'yovel, if he's an eved nirtza, then he's not allowed to stay with the shivcha k'nainis. The Gemara says, Mavakama, if he insists that he really loves his shivcha k'nainis, nochris, his girlfriend over there, and it's after this money has to go free, so the Gemara says, Yodon is permitted and obligated to beat him up. That Ovid inish dina l'nafshe l'afrusha me'isur. If he's violating an isa, you have to pressure him to stop violating, you have to explain to him that it's osur. And if nothing works, then you're even allowed to beat him up, which should only be reserved for the Shliach Bezdin. Shliach Bezdin, authorized by the Bezdin, has the right to beat people up to stop them from doing averes. So here the Gemara says if the guy's about to do the Aver, you have to go to Beis Din and then go and get permission and then come back. Tell him I'm going to go to the Beis Din at night time. When is he boil a Shivchak Tainis at night time? So there is no Beis Din at night time. So you're going to wait till the next morning. It'll be too late already. So the Gemara says, La Frusha Nisura, Oven Inish Dinan Avshay, and he has the right to act as if he's the Shliach Beis Din and beat the person up to prevent him from doing the Aver. So the Ramban claims that this halacha, that Eved Ivri is Mutzah B'Shivchak Nainis and Israel is also B'Shivchak Nainis, indicates that Yivmai and Eved Ivri, there's both. There are two Kinyonim. There's the Kinyamam and the Kinyamim. But the Gemara seems to say in Yivamas Afainam and Beis that by Eved Ivri there's no Kinyan Iser, and the Gemara brings up the fact that Eved Ivri can become a Munah on the Korban Pesach without authorization of the Yodon. And we know that the Eved Ivri shall coin is ain't Echel B'Tshuma, only the Eved Kanayin shall coin is Echel B'Tshuma. So don't those two halachas, by the Korban Pesach and by the Achilas Tshuma, don't those two dinim indicate that by Eved Ivri there's no Kinyan Iser at all? Only by Eved Kanayin there's a Kinyan Iser? Ramban says no, there's a Kinyan Iser by both. By an Eved Kanayin there's a Kinyan Iser with respect to more dinim. By Eved Ivri it's only a Kinyan Iser with respect to one din, respect to the Heter, Shivchak Kanayin. But there's both. There's a Kinyan Mam and then a Kinyan Iser by both. So let's say according to the Ramban, just like we passed like Rabbi Yevit Kanaini, then I'm Afkir Abdo Yotel Lecheirus still. Zorach Get Shichru, the Hefkir is only Chal on the Kinyan Momin. The Hefkir can't be Chal on the Kinyan Isra. So the Ramban would say the same thing by an Evid Ivri. If someone is Mafkir Abdo Ivri, so the Hefkir will be Chal on the Kinyan Momin, but it won't be Chal on the Kinyan Isra. So you'll have to have a shtar. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin when it talks about freeing Eved Ivri. So the Gemara, I think, quotes a brisa that Eved Ivri can be freed with a shtar shichur. So the Gemara asks the Kashi, what do you need a shtar shichur for? Why doesn't he just tell him goodbye and good luck? Well, what does he need a shtar shichur? The Gemara says, no, Zalsa Meris, no, my Rav, Zalsa Meris, Eved Ivri gufa koni. So the Ramban says, that's what it means. Eved Ivri gufa koni means that just like by Eved Kanaini Hamafkir Abdu Yotel Lecheris Vitzorget Shichur, because the Hefka is not Chalani Kinyan. Is there only any Kinyan Mamin? And you don't say the Kinyan Isa disappears, Agav the Kinyan Mamin. You don't say that one is contingent on the other. That's what Shmuel holds. I'm after Abdi Yotzalachis, Vein the Torah gets Shichu, because once the Kinyan Mamin is Paka through Hefka, so the Kinyan Isa also Paka. And Shmuel says it based on the post of Chalevidish. Chalevidish only Yebed, Sheesh Le Rabbi Rishusol. If the Yebed belongs to a boss, whether the Kinyan Mamin, then there's also Kinyan Isa. Once then is ma'akir the odin for meeting Korban Pesach. Once the odin is ma'akir the Eved Kanaini, so there's no kinyan iser. That's what Shmuel holds. But we don't pass like Shmuel. We pass like Rav. So the Ramban learns that's what the Gemara answered in Kiddushin Daf Tezayin. The Gemara asks, and Eved Ivri, what do you need a shtar shichur for? Why don't they just tell him? Why don't they just tell him goodbye? So the Gemara says, no, Eved Ivri gufa koni. So the Ramban says, what does it mean? In addition to the kinyan mamon, there's also a kinyan iser. And the Kinyanis is only going to go away by giving a shtar. You can be mafkir from today till next year. And it's not going to help. You have to give a shtar. You have to give a shtar that's written in Shmo. I'll be pashtus. The shtar sheikh Eved Ivri. Probably also has to be written in Shmo. Shtar sheikh Eved Kanaini, we know, from the Pesukim, Lo Lo Meisha. What about shtar sheikh Eved Ivri? Probably also has to be written in Shmo, according to the Ramban, because it's in order to remove the Kinyanis. So the Ramban learns that was the Gemara's answer. Taisus says that it's just not true. The Taisus in Yevamos Afayinam Beis takes the Gemara Kipshuto, that the Gemara seems to say that there's only a Kinyanisa by Yevik Naini. By Yevik Ivri there is no Kinyanisa. The Gemara brings the Rai from the Korban Pesach, that the Yevik Naini cannot become a Munah on the Korban Pesach without the authorization of the Yodon, as opposed to the Yevik Ivri. We add out another Rai from the Achilas Truma. So Taisus takes the Gemara Kipshin, though. But by Eved Ivri, there's no Kinyan Iser at all. How do you understand the nature of the din Eved Ivri is Mutta B'Shilchak Nainis? That doesn't indicate that there's a Kinyan Iser. So Taisus says, no, that doesn't indicate anything. Why not? So Taisus says, that he does in the line of duty, Taisus says. The Pasuk says, Ki Mishnas Chasoche Rabotcho, that when you step free in Eved Ivri, you have to give him ha'anoke, you have to give him a bonus at the end, you have to give him a matana. And the pasuk says, why? Because he worked so hard. Mishneh sechar socher rabotcha. He worked Mishneh double. He worked twice as hard as any other worker. In what sense did he work twice as hard? So some Rishonim say, in Masechah Shabbos, I'm trying to say that a normal laborer, Bizmana Tanakh, would only work 3 years. That Sukkim and Yeshaya like that. A normal worker would only work 3 years. And the Eved Ivri, normal Eved Ivri, is Nimkal Hashesh. They sell him for 6 years. That's Mishnah Schar Sach Ravacha, double. And based on that, some Rishonim say that you're not allowed to sign a contract to work for a company, to work for someone for more than 3 years. You're allowed to sign a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year contract that's working. But working for more than 3 years, that's already slavery. And that's a violation of Kili B'nai Yisrael Lavadim, Lavadim, Lavadim. A Jew is not allowed to sell himself as an Eved. And signing a contract for more than 3 years is prohibited. Sure. That's one opinion of Choshen Mishma. You're not allowed to sign a contract for more than 3 years because those who Rishonim understood the Pasuk, Mishnas Chasachar Avotza, he worked, there's a Tosfos in the end of Shabbos like that. Mishnas Chasachar Avotza, he worked double the amount that a normal laborer works. Normal laborer of Bizman HaTanach works 3 years, and the Eved Ivri works 6 years. But the Gemara has a different interpretation on the Pasuk, Mishnah, double. The Gemara says he works doubly hard. Normal laborer works in the daytime. The Gemara in the Mishnah in Bava Metzia learns that from the Pasuk in Baruch Nafshi that a normal laborer works from Alois HaShachar till Tzei Sakachov. He doesn't have to work at night, and the Eved Ivri works by Yom and Balayla. How is the Eved Esraba by Yom and Eved Esraba Balayla? By Yom, he does all the work that the Odon asks him to do. And then Balayla, the Odon has the right to be Mosa Lo Shivcha Knainis. If the Odin wants to be molid vlados from the Shivcha Knainis, and all the children will be Avadim Knainim and Shivcha Knainis, he has the right to insist that the Eved Ivri should be with the Shivcha Knainis. Taisa seems to assume, let's say the Eved Ivri on his own wants to be with the Shivcha Knainis, and they want to practice birth control, not interested in having any babies. Or maybe they are interested, they're interested in raising a family, but the Odin not interested. The Odin didn't ask him to be with the Shivcha Knainis, so Taisa seems to hold that it's forbidden. That you're not allowed. Taisa says the only heter for the Eved Ivri, that's the Taisa in Yavam, is our final base. The only heter for the Eved Ivri, the Shivcha Knainis, is because Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha Knainis, it's in the line of duty. What do you mean, line of duty? Let's say a guy gets a job, then part of the job is he has to be Mechal Shabbos. Normally he's not Mechal Shabbos, but it's in the line of his duty. If he signs a contract that he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, then he's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So what kind of a heter is that? It's that the Achrenim Eskan says, what do you mean? If the Issa Shivcha Knainis is in Issa Deraisa, so what does it help that the Eved sold himself as an Eved Ivri, or the Bezin sold him as an Eved Ivri, so it's in the line of duty. The line of duty is still an Aveira. So the Achrenim explained the Issa Shivcha Knainis is a different kind of an Issa. It's not like Chilul Shabbos, that this act per se, you can divorce it from everything else. The act of Chilul Shabbos is an Aveira. The act of being Chazmer is an Aveira. This Maisa, this fool itself is an Aveira. By Boal, Shivcha Knainis, it's not that the it's not from the Yisuri Bia. It's not from the Yisuri Bia. The marker for the prohibition is the pasuk of Laia Kaddish v'Laisia Kadesha. Laia Kaddish means a Jewish man, shouldn't act in a promiscuous fashion. It means he decides on his own. He wants to take a Shivcha Knainis. But what happens if he sold himself, or the Bezin sold him as an Eved Ivri, and the Odom wants him to be with the Shivcha Knainis in order to have Lodis? So he can't really say that this is an act of promiscuity on his part. The Torah authorizes the Odon to insist that he wants Mishnas Chasach, he wants the Eved to be with the Shivcha Knainis in order to be molid vladis. So then, since it's in line of duty, so Bechlal, there's no Issa. That's what Taisus holds. Ramban holds that that's ridiculous. What do you mean? Well, Shivcha Knainis is an Aveira. So the fact that the Eved Ivri is Mutab Shivcha Knainis is Arai Brura, that there is a Kinyan Issa. And Taisus insists not so, that there is no Kinyan Issa, and the Hefter Shivcha Knainis has to be explained away. It's in the line of duty. It's a fundamental machlokes between Taisus and the Ramban. The Shah Melech raises the Shad. Shah Melech is one of the Achrenim on the Ram. So the Shah Melech raises the Safek. And Eved Ivri is Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis. Is that only Rabbo Moshe lo Shivcha Knainis? What if he on his own? He wants a Shivcha Knainis. The Yodin didn't ask him to. Yodin isn't interested. Would the Eved Ivri be Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis on his own? So Shah Melech raises the question. So this question is a Mefurish HaMachlek, it's Taisus and the Ritvo. The Ritvo goes with the Shita Saramban, that there is a Kinyan Issa by Eved Ivri. So the Kinyan Issa Baharai, that is Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis. So he holds his Mutta on his own. And Taisus insists that there's no Kinyan Issa, and the Heter Shivcha Knainis to the Eved Ivri is only at the request of the Adon, Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha Knainis. If the Odom wants him to be with the Shimcha Knainis, because it's going to pay for the Odom, he's going to make more money, he's going to have more Avadim Knainim in Shimcha Knainis from the Vladis, then he has a head of a Shimcha Knainis. But if the Odom is not Mosolo, then he wouldn't have that. So what would the din be if somebody's mafkir, let's talk now, what's the din if someone has an Eved Ivri and is mafkir the Eved Ivri? The hefker is chala, the Eved Ivri. The Eved Ivri belongs to me. I have a Kenyan mammon and the Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri go for Kona. So would you say hefker is chala on the Kenyan mammon and that's it? That's all there is. Or would you say no? The same machlokes is Rabbi Shmuel by mafkir avdo kanaini. Yotze lecheres whether it's surrogate shechor or ain't surrogate shechor. The same machlokes is what applies to Eved Ivri. So the chara, this should depend on the Ramban and Tesis. According to Tesis, that there is no Kenyan iser by Eved Ivri. There's only Kenyan mammon. There's no Kenyan Issa. So according to Tesis, there shouldn't be a Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel by Kenyan, by Eved Ivri. The Machlokes, when the Mafke Rabbi the Yotzel Cheres Tzotz get Shuch, ain't Tzotz get Shuch, and the Machlokes in Gittin should only apply to Eved Kenayin. It should not apply to Eved Ivri. Whereas according to the Ramban says, no, it's not true. There's both a Kenyan Mammon and a Kenyan Issa, both by Eved Ivri and by Eved Kenayin. So then could well be that the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel in Gittin should not be restricted only to the case of Mafkir Abda Knaini. It should apply also to Mafkir Abda Yivin. Here Taisus has a Lashon that contradicts what they write in other Masechtos. Taisus says over here, why did the Gemara in Kiddushin require the Brice in Kiddushin Daf Tezayin says, you want a free and Eved Ivri, so you need a Shtar Shichra. So the Gemara says, Lomalishtara, why does he have to bother? Why does the Yodan have to bother to give Shtar Shichra to the Eved Knaini, to the Eved Ivri? Leimalei Bapi Treizil. Let him just tell the Eved Ivri, I'm Moichel your services. So the Gemara answers, why? Because Mechila in Tzvich HaKinyas. That was the Kasha. So to this, the Gemara responds, Eved Ivri Gufa Koni. What does it mean? Mechila doesn't work on a Bien. Mechila only works on Tchusim, it doesn't work on a Bien. And you're making a mistake if you think that the Odom's rights to the Eved Ivri are just that the Eved owes him 6 years worth of services, which should be able to lend itself to Mechila, you're making a mistake. It's not just that the Odom is entitled to the services, Chusei Mammon, which would lend themselves to Mechila, but rather Eved Ivri Gufa Konui, the Odom owns the Eved Ivri, not the same as an Eved Knaini, he owns Mamish Kishor V'Hamar, he owns the Eved Ivri like a decalateris. Only with respect to the fact that he has to do work for him for the next 6 years. Doesn't own the Erlen Voit, just he owns him like Dekel of Paris. So Taisus asks on the Gemara, Akati Tikshalon Shtara Lomali, after the Gemara gives the answer that you need a Shtar to be Meshacha the Eved Ivri, and you can't just say I'm Moichel because Mechila can't be Chal on a Bien. So Taisin says, but it's still Shver. Mechila is not Chala and Yem. Hefker is Chala and Yem. So Yafkirenu. Why shouldn't the Yodam be Mafke the Eved Ivri? There shouldn't be any need for Shtar Shichur. And Taisin, in formulating that Kasha, throw in Yafkirenu. If you hold like Shmuel, whom we don't hold like. If you hold like Shmuel, do I'm a Mafke Rabbi Yotze Lecheres Reinu Tzorket Shichur. But if the din would have been a Mafke Rabbi Do Kanayin, Yotze Lecheres Tzorket Shichur, like Rav, whom we pass them like, then Taisus wouldn't have any kash. Taisus in Kiddush and other Masechtos writes not so. The Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, the Tzorket Shichur and Tzorket Shichur is only by Eved Knaini, not by Eved Ivri. By Eved Ivri there is no Kenyan Issa. So everybody would agree, I'm Afkar Rabbi the Yotzer Lecheres, and Tzorket Shichur. So they shouldn't have only posed the question, Aliba de Shmuel, it's Bein L'Rab, Bein L'Shmuel. According to the Ramban, it's only Aliba de Shmuel. According to the Ramban, who claims that there is a Kenyan Issa, by Eved Ivri, in addition to the Kenyan Mammon, there's also Kenyan Issa. So then, what would be the din of Hamafkir Abda Ivri, Yotze Lecheres, the Kenyan Mammon, is Toka, whether Toka, Shechem, Toka, Shechem, that would be Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, the same Machlekes by Eved Knaini will apply to Eved Ivri. But over here, it's Taisus talking. Taisus talking, and they're talking the Ramban's language. They're not talking the way they write in other Masechtos. Taisus in other places writes in Gittin, Kiddush, and Taisus writes that by Eved Ivri, all you need is Hefker. And that takes care of everything because there is no Kenyan Issa. There's only a Kenyan Mammon. There's nothing for Rabbi Shmuel to fight about. So it was this Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tezayin where this whole Machlokes the Ramban and Tosfos started from. The Gemara says, the Braita comments on the Mishnah, how do you free an Eved Ivri? So it says, Kainas Atma Lishtar. The Odin has to give him a Shtar Shechus. The Gemara asks the question, what do you need a Shtar? Lama Lishtar, Lama Lebapi Trezil. Why doesn't he just Mavatir? Just have the Odin be Moichal on the services. Moichal on the services doesn't have to work anymore, even though it's only a half a year into the Sheish. A half a year went by, another 5.5 years to go. So if the Odin is Moichal, Mavatir, so everything is off. So the Gemara says, Amar Rove. The Osel Meres, the Braisa that insists on a Shtar Shechur indicates that Eved Ivri is Guf HaKonis. So what was the answer of the Gemara? So the Ramban interprets the answer to mean that in addition to the Kinyan Moment, there's also a Kinyan Issa. And the Kinyan Issa doesn't lend itself to Mechila. Like he says, the Kinyan Issa doesn't lend itself to Hefker. Hefker Mechila only applied to Inyoni of Moment. And Taisus read the Gemara's answer differently. Taisus told there is no Kinyan Issa by Eved Ivri. So what was the Gemara's answer? Eved Ivri Guf HaKonis. The answer was that the Habamin of the Gemara that Mechila should work is based on a mistaken notion. The Habamin was that the Odon doesn't own an ownership in the Eved Ivri, just that he has a schus, he has the Shibudim. The Eved is Meshubah to work for the Odon for the next 6 years. So if it's only Shibudim and schus Eimamim, so the Odon can be Mechila on that. So to that, the Gemara responds and says, no, wrong. It's not just Shibudim that should lend themselves to Mechila. So it's a merit, Eved Ivri Guf HaKonis, it's an ownership of a bien. It's not a real bien like Shor V'Chamoro. It's not the same as owning an Eved Knaini. It's an ownership like Dekala Peres. I own it with respect to one prat. One prat only. I own the Eved Ivri. I own his body with respect to the fact that he has to do work for me for the next 6 years. That's all. But it's a Dekala Peres. Like I own the Dekala with respect to the Peres. That was the main raya that Taisus had. They thought that Gemara was really pretty conclusive that Mechila ain't a Tzvich HaKinyan from the Gemara's Havamina. Lama Lishtara, why didn't you understand? Lama Lebapi Trezil. And it means below Kinyan. Hoshav Shab, below Kinyan. Mechila ain't a Tzvich HaKinyan. Then Taisus quoted the various Gemaras. They're not sure which Gemaras do prove, which Gemaras don't prove. So one of the Gemaras they quote is, there's a din, Taina Bechita Mahod Lo Besarim is Potter. What does it mean? There is, normally there is a din of Moed B'Mikzah. So Moed B'Mikzah has to swear a Shvur Derais. Ki who's ever like that, we know all about. So what if the fellow is Moed B'Mikzah like this? I say, I was mafkid a pikotin by you of 100 pounds of chitin. And I went there to Israel and he said, you're going to watch it for me. Now I come back and I say, where's the 100 pounds of chitin? So the fellow says, no, it wasn't 100 pounds. Of wheat, there was 100 pounds of barley. You know, barley is for the behemoth to eat. Barley is not la'adam. So 100 pounds of chitin is twice as expensive, twice as valuable as 100 pounds of barley. So in other words, I say you owe me $100 and he's made the $50. So that's basically a moed b'miktsas. So the Mishnah learns that from a pasuk that taina b'chit ma'od lo b'sarim is potam and ashvur. There is no chiv shvur. There's no chiv shvur, but still he should be... He admits that he owes him 100 pounds of barley. So he should have to pay him 100 pounds of barley. So the Gemara adds on to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Shavuot. When it lists off, when you have a Shavuot derais, when you have a Shavuot derabon. So the Gemara adds on to that Mishnah that not only Taina Bechitim Ahodlo Desarim is Potam and Ashvua, he's even Potam in the Mesor. If I say I lent you $100 and you never paid it back, and you're made them a mixas and kaif and mixas, you admit borrowing $50 and the other 50 you don't admit, to the 50 that you admit borrowing you have to pay. And regarding the non-payment of the remaining 50, if I want to, I can insist that I want you to swear on a Sefer Torah that you only owe me $50, you have to pay more than 50. Okay. But the 50 that you admit, you certainly have to pay. So what's over here? I say, I lent you, or I gave you a pikadon, 100 pounds of wheat, and you were moida. That it's not true, 100 pounds of wheat. The truth of the story was, it was 100 pounds of barley. Instead of being $100, it was worth $50. So the Gemara says, not only do I not have the ability to make these swear shvur deraisa, because two different meanings, taina v'chita v'hadla v'sam dehoidor, it's not mimina taina, so you don't swear shvur deraisa. He doesn't even have to pay the $50 worth of sermon that he's moida to. The shaila is why not? Why? That's a Gemara. That's not a pasuk. That's a Gemara. Gemara adds it on. So the shayla is, why is that so? Why doesn't he at least have to pay the $50 worth of sa'orim that he admitted? So the Rishonim have three interpretations of that din, have three pshat. So one pshat that Tosfos is clearly alluding to is that the fact that I say I gave you a pikatna, I say I lent you 100 pounds of chitim on yesterday, on Sunday, in 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I lent you 100 pounds of chitim, and I'm not asking for 100 pounds of store. So that's an implicit mechila. You're admitting that you borrowed sarim. So I say, okay, you admit that you borrowed sarim, so at least pay me the sarim. So how am I going to explain my original kindness? I'm going to say, that's also true. I wanted you first to pay the 100 pounds of chitim, that's more valuable. You admitted the 100 pounds of sarim, I want that also, I'll get to that later, but first things first. First I wanted the larger amount, and then first I want to eat myself. I want my wife to bake bread with the chitim. And then the sarim is Michael Bamus, so I'll worry about the behema later. So then it's too late. Once I say, give me 100 pounds of chitim, and you are moida 100 pounds of sa'orim, which is half the value, and then I say, right away, I say, yeah, I want 100 pounds of sa'orim also, but I also want 100 pounds of chitim. So then the din is, you don't have to pay the 100 pounds of sa'orim. Why not? So some Rishonim say, the fact that I only asked for 100 pounds of chitim that I lent you yesterday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you say, no, it was 100 pounds of sa'orim, so why didn't... And I say, yeah, that's right. I want 100 pounds of sarim also, but I also, at first, I wanted to take care of that. So why didn't I ask the first time for the 100 pounds of sa'orim? So some Rishonim say that that's an implicit mechila. The fact that I only asked for the chitim and I didn't ask for the sa'orim, that is like a mechila. So Tosfos wants to bring a ray from that, a mechila in a tzricha kinyan, because he never made any kinyan. The guy later on says, not true. He says, I wasn't mechal anything. I want, he says, Techa de Dibur. When the other guy says that he admits 100 pounds of sum, which is only worth half the price, it's only worth $50. So the Tavir says, yeah, that's true, and I also want 100 pounds of chitim. So the Bezin says, too late. The Taisa says, Umitayna chitma hod labasam de patarach misorim. The Gemara quotes that. The Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah says, Yepata mili ishavea. The Mishnah says, in Shuas, you don't swear. And the Amoraim add on, Yepotaraf midamei sorim, the moda behu, even though he's moda, so the Shaila is, why is he potter from paying the sorim? So there were three interpretations in the Rishonim. Some of Rishonim said, because it's mechila. The fact that he's only taver the 100 pounds of chitim, and he's not taver the 100 pounds of sorim, is an implicit mechila on the sorim. So Tei says, don't bring that raya. That's not a good raya. Any raya. The Hasam, the reason why he's potter from paying the sarim is not because we have the right to assume that since he only asked for the chitim from yesterday 2 o'clock afternoon, he said, yesterday I lent you a chitim at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, give me back the chitim. The other guy says, no, it wasn't a chitim, it was a sarim. He says right away, yeah, it's true, yeah, it was a sarim also, I want the chitim and the sarim. So the fact that he didn't ask for it the first time, that itself indicates that he was moichel. So Tosfos said, they don't think that's the pshat. That's not the reason. The reason is a different reason. It's ha'idah, can I get ha'idah? If I'm asking, I say, yesterday I lent you 100 pounds of chitim at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So why is it that I only ask for the chitim? Why don't I ask for anything else? It's ha'idah, baldin, that's all you owe me from yesterday. Maybe from other occasions you owe me other. But from yesterday, because if you really borrowed chitim and sarim yesterday, I should have asked for both. So the fact that I'm not asking for both is not that it's an implicit mechila, it's an implicit haidah spaldin, that's all you owe me from yesterday 2 o'clock is only 100 pounds of chitim. It's a haidah that you don't owe me the sarim. Yeah, but then the other guy admits it wasn't chitim, it was 100 pounds of sarim, and I scream back and forth and I say, yeah, it was both. So that's too late. Tosfos learns it's too late already. It's a haidah keneged haidah. So what's the thing when you have a haidah keneged haidah? Haidah keneged haidah. It's a funny case. I admit that I owe you 100 pounds of sarim, and you admit to me that I don't owe you 100 pounds of sarim. You're trying to negotiate. You want me to give you 100 pounds of chitim plus 100 pounds of sarim. But the way you asked for 100 pounds of chitim, implicit in your request and your demand and your tefillah was that you're moedah that I don't owe you the sarim. So later on, if you're going to demand from me the sarim, that's a haidah keneged haidah. So what's the din in haidah keneged haidah? I come to the Bezdin, I say, he just admitted that he owes me 100 pounds of sorin. I ask the Bezdin, let him give me the 100 pounds of sorin. So the Bezdin says, but you just admitted that he doesn't owe you the 100 pounds of sorin. So the Bezdin will not make me take, Bezdin will not make you pay the sorin to me, because you have the Haidas Balbin that I admitted against it. What if I'll go and I'll be Tofas? What if I'll be Tefas? It's May sorin. It's 100 pounds of sorin. So the summer then you should say that if I'm Tefes and then Bezdin wants me to surrender it, I'll say, what do you mean? But he was Maida, he made a Haidah, but then that he does owe me the summer. Whenever you have a Haidah, can I get Haidah? So the Pashtun says, Bezdin doesn't do anything. You don't do anything. If the money is Eitzel Muchzuk over there, he has the Sorim. So Bezdin is not going to make him pay. If I grab it, Bezdin is not going to make me give it back, because there is a Haidah, but then in my direction. Each guy was murdered to the other, that the other one is right. So Bezdin probably, it's a difference. If you say the original pshat that it's mechila, so even if it's going to be typist, it's not going to help. But if you say that it's because haidor, keneged haidor, the rush in the end of over there, the rush, in Sof Per Kameniach, in Barakam, Daf Lam and Amenbeh, so the rush raises this issue. The rush quotes, there are three pshatim. Maybe the rush only quotes two, the Arsameh quotes, there are three pshatim in the Gemara. Why is it that Taina Bechit Mahodl of the storm is not only Potem and Ashvue? Potem and Ashvue is a Gzeres HaKotu. We need to learn that. Hoidor is not Nimina Taina. Taina Bechit Mahodl of the storm is no Chiv Shvue. That's a Potem. But the Amaroi mad on their own, that Taina Bechit Mahodl of the storm is Potter Afilu Midimei Sorin. The Gemara never gives the explanation why. So the Rishonim give three pshat. So some say because it's an implicit Nechila, then it's a Rai, then Nechila in the Tzvich and Kinyan. And others say, no, it's no raya, it's not based on mechila at all, it's haidor, keneged haidor. And the third pshat the Rishonim give is that the fellow can taina later on, mishato hi yisiboch. You come and you ask me for chitin, so I say, yes, I owe you sorim because the cow jumped over the moon, and I promise, I say a crazy story because you're asking such an absurd thing, I should give you 100 pounds of chitin. So that's why I said a crazy thing in response. Because you said such a wild thing, so I was pulling your leg. Hashtoa means to joke. I was joking around with you. So the other Rishonim say that when the fellow admits that he owes 100 pounds of Saorim, it's a Hoidoas Baldin. It is a good Hoidoas Baldin. And then when the Taver says, okay, Bezdin, look, he just admitted that he owes me 100 pounds of Saorim, so make him at least pay the 100 pounds of Saorim, so Bezdin will turn back to the Nitvan, they'll say, no, so pay him the sorin. So he has to give an answer. So if he can't give any answer, so Bezdin says, you just admitted to pay the 100 pounds of sorin. If he has the presence of mind to say, no, I only said that because he said a kooky thing. He's asking me for 100 pounds of chitim that is leidubim v'layah. It's absolutely not true whatsoever. So that's why he answered him back, a crazy thing that's totally ridiculous. Just like he's talking stupidity, I said stupidity. Mishata he said, but he has to answer that. If he doesn't answer back, Mishata, Bezdin says, okay, he just admitted 100 pounds of sorim, so pay him the sorim. So if the guy right away says, Mishata Haisi, I was kidding, so then he can be Chayzer Amagad, Aydeh Maslam. Whenever a person makes a Haidah Asbaldin, he admits that he owes money. So the din is that you can back out from Haidah Asbaldin if you give a satisfactory explanation why you told the lie the first time when you admitted that you owe the money. And the Bezdin is convinced that what you're saying now is true and the Haidah's Baldin was a fake. So then they'll throw out the Haidah's Baldin. So this is only Bamed Bamamurim if the Baldin himself says so. He has to say, I was kidding because he said such a wild, outrageous taina against me. He wants me to give him 100 pounds of sorim. It's outrageous. I never borrowed it. So that's why I said an outrageous thing. I said I borrowed 100 pounds of sorim, which is, it never happened. So if he says that, then he can say, Mishata Yisibah. And if the Bezdin will be convinced that what he's saying now is true and what he said earlier is not true, so then they'll throw out the Haidah's Baldin. Because man that he wants in Mishata Yisibot, they will not throw it out. They'll take and make him pay the 100 pounds of sorim. So these are the three pshatim that the Rishonim give. Why? Taina Mechitim, the whole of the sorim is Potter, Afilim, Midmei sorim. Some Rishonim, there are three sheep. Some Rishonim said because it's an implicit Mechila, and it's Taver the Chitim, it's from 2 o'clock from yesterday, and he didn't ask for the sorim from 2 o'clock from yesterday, which the other fellow admits, that's an implicit mechila that is mechal on the sorim. Other Rishonim say it's not an implicit mechila. It's not implicit mechila. It's a haidor keneged haidor. So haidor keneged haidor. You can't be moitzi the moment. The Bezdin will not force the nitva to surrender the 100 pounds of sorim. But if the tevel will be tofas, then it'll be weiter hadoa keneged hadoa. So the bezin will not force the tavea to surrender back the 100 pounds of sorim to the nitva, because the guy admitted that hadoa keneged hadoa. They'll leave everything the way it is. And the third shot the Rishonim say is neither. It's neither mechila nor hadoa keneged hadoa. It's in Gansen a different shot, because he can taina mishata nibach, and it's only if he taka advances that taina. If he says mishata yisibach, if he doesn't say mishata yisibach, so the whole din doesn't apply, then he will have to pay the dmei hasor. So that's what Tosi says. You can't really tell from that gemara that mechila and tzricha kini, because it could be that that whole din is not based on mechila. It could be based on B, or other Rishonim say it's based on C, a second or a third reason. Then Taisa says on the other Gemara, I thought that was the best one of all. Korshenot lechelke pashut, ein ledakte klal, no rai at all. Why is ein ledakte klal? They don't explain. I don't know. You can say that that Gemara also goes. They made a kinyan. Maybe mechila does need a kinyan. Made a kinyan. Pashut shat in all the Gemara says that mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan. That's the way we assume. Mechila does not need a kinyan. It is a big, that's the way we know and disagree. That's how we assume. Mechila in the Kenya. But there's a big machlokes in Rishonim. How come? Mechila in the Kenya. How are you supposed to understand this? So the Stipula has much of the essay over here. Stipula quotes from the Sefer Machne Ephraim. Machne Ephraim is written by one of the Spartish Gedolim. Who lived in the late 1700s, I think, the early 1800s. The Nesivis quotes the Machne Ephraim, a sefer written by one of the Kadmoinim. So the Chidor says, what do you mean one of the Kadmoinim? I knew who he was. He just died. He wasn't from the Kadmoinim. The Nesivis didn't know who it was, because it was a Sephardi. This was an Ashkenazi, and Machne Ephraim was his wife. He did not. He thought he lived a few generations over. So the Machne Ephraim raises the question: what if this fellow, let's say, I owe you $100, and you're mochel the debt to me? We're friendly. Say so mochel the debt to me. He says, it's okay. You don't have to pay. And I insist. No, I'm going to pay. I don't accept your mechila. I'm going to pay. You keep on insisting, and I keep on insisting I'm going to pay. I happen not to have money, and I have no checks, I have no money, but I say I'm going to pay. You say, no, you don't want to pay me. Sure. Then wait till tomorrow, and then tomorrow we're already no longer friendly. So tomorrow comes around, so the guy's already angry at me, and he says he wants his $100. So what do you mean you want $100? Yesterday you were moichel to me the $100. So he says, yeah, but you didn't accept the mechila. When he was moichel, I said, I don't accept it. I plan to pay you anyway. I don't accept your mechila. So do you say mechila cancels the debt only if the nimchal accepts the mechila, or even if he doesn't accept the mechila? He words it, the Machne Ephraim words the suffix, is mechila a siluk? I owe $100 to this person. So he says, I'm misalik myself in $100. You don't owe me the money anymore. But he said mechila is some kind of a kinyan. It's considered as if he's making a kinyan with me. It's a kinyan that doesn't need a maisa kinyan, but if it's an act of hakno, he's makna the chov back to me. So you can't be makna chov to somebody bal korchai. So that's the suffix of the Machne Ephraim. If the malve is meichel to the love, bal korcha shel alove, the love refuses to accept the mechila today, and then at a later day, everything reverses itself. At a later date, the loiv is prepared to accept the mechila of the malva, and the malva says, I changed my mind, I'm no longer moichel. And the loiv says, but you were moichel yesterday. So the malva says, but yesterday when I was moichel, you didn't accept my mechila. So the Machne Ephraim is not sure what the din is. But truth of the matter is that there is a third, so the stipler in the Sefer on Sanhedrin, on this Dab, and Dabav shows that some Rishonim say A and some Rishonim say B. He fishes around Shas. Some say it's a hakno, some say that it's a siluk. He misalik himself. Truth of the matter is that there's a third opinion, that mechila is neither A nor B, but mechila is rather mechila ki his kabalta, mechila is ki parua. Mechila is considered a form of piroi. Let's say I owe you the $100, and I have the money, and I'm about to pay you, and you're in the middle of putting on your tefillin. You're taking out the tefillin from the tefillin deck, and I want to give you the money, and you're late for minyan. You have no time. So you motion to me, I should leave it on the table. I should put it on your talizek. Sure. So whatever you tell me, that's what I do. So I put it in the talizek, under the talizek, whatever. I leave it on the table, and I walk away. And then somehow the money walks away. The money disappears later on. So who's responsible? Who's held responsible? Do you say the loiva has to pay a second time because the malva never was lohigil yada? Or do you say no? The loiva did what the malva told him to. The malva motioned to him. Malva, before he unwrapping the tool, says, put it in the talizek. Okay, have a nice day. So he told me to do that. So whatever he told me, he defines what's called pirah. Let's say I call you up and I say I owe you the $100. I have the money. Do you want me to come over now? Are you free? Can I come over? And say it's not necessary. Put it in the mail. Put it in an envelope. Put a stamp on. Put in the cash. Whatever. I'll rely on the United States mail. So I do what he told me to do, and then it never gets to him, and he believes me that I did. There's no question whether I did it or I didn't do it. It's not that he thinks I'm lying. He believes that I did put it. I have to aid him. I don't have to have. He believes me that I put it in an envelope and I put a stamp on it. And somehow it disappeared. Somebody in the post office stole the money. They never delivered the money. So would you say that that's considered, do I have to pay you again or not? So the pashtus says, no, that's called a piroi. Whatever he tells me to do. Mara says, sometimes it's not called a piroi. Mara says, let's say I lent you $100 here in the yeshiva under safe conditions, and then we're driving through Harlem and the car breaks down, and all the neighbors come and they surround the car, and all of a sudden I remind myself, I owe you $100. I say, here's $100, piroin. The Gemara says, piroin malkor cheshmei piroin. Even if it's uncomfortable, piroin malkor. Let's say the guy's on his way to shul on Erev Shabbos. He wants to daven early in shul. So I give him $5,000 that I pay him. What's he going to do with $5,000? No, he doesn't want the money now. So the halacha says, even though it's uncomfortable for him, piroin malkor cheshmei piroin. But not if I give him the money in Harlem, the Gemara says. If the loan was made in the yeshiva under safe circumstances, and then I pay back the money in less safe circumstances, the money is not so secure, that's not called a piroin. Unless the other fellow says, accept it. Whatever he defines as a piroin is called a piroin. So what happens, let's say, if I owe you $100, I give you back the $100 that I owed you, and then you say thank you, the chov is gone, and I want to give you a gift, and he gives me back the $100. That's fine. I paid him the $100, so the chov is peru. So what if I'm about to give him the $100, and he says it's okay, he's moichel the money. So some Rishonim say mechilas ki hiskabalti, mechilas ki piron. If I would have given him the $100 cash, so it would have been peru. And then if he gives it back a second later, that's a matona. So if I'm about to give the money, both are considered parua. And he says, I accept it as a piroin. Sure, you don't even have to even bother to give me the money. And what if I don't even have the money in my pocket? Let's say I can't put together $100. I have so many people that I owe money to, I can't put together. Not only if I give him the money, he gives him back, I'm about to give him the money, he says not necessary. What if I can't get the money? And I come and I'm crying and I say, I was trying to raise $100 to pay you and I can't find the money. And he says, I'm meichel the money. So meichel is also, if I would have given him the money, would have given it back, that would have been considered a piron. So maybe this is also a piron. So a group of Rishonim say that mechila works because mechila is a form of piron. Other Rishonim hold not so. Other Rishonim hold that's not called piron. Piron is if I'm moitzeh the money mitachas yadi and I put it in his talzekel. I'm moitzeh the money mitachas yadi, I put it in an envelope and I drop it in the post office. So at least the money left my rishus, and it went further. But if the money never left my rishus, I don't even have the money. Or even if I have the money, here there's a machlokes, a further machlokes. Some Rishonim say, if I have most mizumanim biyodo lefroa, derive it in the Balamor, both hold like that. If you have most mizumanim biyodo lefroa, if I have the money in my hand, I'm about to give it to him, and then he says, that's okay, I'm moichel. So in that case, that's called piroin. Here's the cash. I made the money accessible to him, but the definition of piroin is when you make the money accessible to the malva. What's called accessible? Whatever to the satisfaction of the malva. Whatever satisfies him. He says, put it in an envelope and drop it in the mailbox. Or he says, put it in the talizek, I'll put it on a table and don't worry about it. So whatever he considers accessible, so that's considered parua. So some Rishonim say, if I have the money, most is the money, I'm about to pay it, and then he says, it's okay, you don't have to bother paying it. since it was Moses, his money got all the friend. The money was, I made the money accessible to him, and he doesn't want it, so that's called Pirud. But if I don't even have the money, I don't have the money, and I come and I cry my heart out that I don't have any money, he says, that's okay, I'm Michael, you're the whole thing, you don't have to pay. So how can you call that Pirud? He didn't make the money accessible. And other Rishonim say it's not even true that Balamor and the Raivit hold like that. Most is money beyond the Friday, that's called Pirud. Other Rishonim say no. Making the money accessible to the Leiva is called a Piruin if making the money accessible to the Malva. It's called a Piruin at least if it leaves the Rishus of the Leiva. But if it's still in the Shlita of the Leiva has it in his hand. Most is money beyond Shalalova. The Leiva is holding on. He didn't let go yet. And then the Malva says it's okay, you can keep it. That's not called Piruin. Other Rishonim hold that's not called. How can you call that Piruin? The money never left the rishus of the loiva. Making it accessible means the money left my rishus and I put it in a location that it's accessible to the malva. But if it never left my rishus, how can you call it piruin? So there's a variety of opinions over here. The basic definition of piruin is correct. When you make the money accessible to the malva, you don't need a kinyan. That's what the Rishonim have rights thinking about. You don't need a kinyan. You don't say only when the money is in his pocket and he has a kinyan chotzer. The money is in and he has a kinyan yad. No, that's not true. Even if he doesn't make a kinyan on the money, it's also called for. If he agrees, I should put it on the table, and it's not his table. It's not going with a kinyan chotzer. Making the money accessible is also called the piruin. Not all the Rishonim agree to that. That's correct. That the definition of piruin is to make the money accessible to the loiva. But the machlekes of Rishonim is how far do you go on this? So some say every mechila is considered kipiroin because I'm making. He told me he's satisfied. I should leave the money in my bank. I don't have to bother to raise the money. He's meichel to me. He said that's satisfactory. He's satisfied with that making it accessible. He said it's okay. You can keep the money. So that's. I was discussing with him how I'm going to make the money accessible to him. I don't have any money. He said, forget it. You don't have to. So he's satisfied with that. So whenever he's satisfied, that's called Piruin. Another thing, not only if it's most of his money beyond the prayer. Another thing, not only if he actually was most of the money mitachas yad. So these are the three shitas in Rishonim. They're favorish. Some Rishonim say it's Piruin. Some Rishonim say it's Siluk. Malva is Mesalik himself in this way. The other Rishonim say, no, it's not a siluk. You need a kinyan. But how do you explain what kind of a kinyan it is? And that's what the disciple, of course, the Mordechai on our daf. On our tesis, when the Mordechai formulates the klal that tesis develops over here, the mechila in a kinyan, so the Mordechai says, because you always have a kinyan chotzer. You always have a kinyan chotzer. What do you mean a kinyan chotzer? So he sounds like he's saying the following. If I want to transfer ownership of Metalsalim, I own an automobile, I own a Gemara, I own a pair of glasses, whatever, so I put it in your chatzah. So you're kind of with the Kinyan chatzah because the Metalsalim are nimtzoyim b'rishus ko. The thing is in your rishus. So that's when you want to transfer ownership of a tangible object. So every tangible object is either in this rishus, that rishus, or the other rishus. So it's in your rishus. And I authorize you to be kind of a kinyan chatzer, and if you ever choose that, the definition of kinyan chatzer. What about a debt, a chov? A chov is a dovishen gufa mamon. It's not a tangible. It's not something you can feel. It's not something you can touch with your hands. So a debt is a mamon. Is an intangible mamon. So the debt is always eitzel halova. The debt is always bishus halova. Because the lover didn't shell out the money yet to pay the malva. So when the malva tells the lover, it's okay, you can keep it. So the lover is kona the debt with a kinyan chotzer. Because the debt, a chov, is an intangible mamon. It's not a chetzer. It's not a chetzer of mamon, it's an intangible mamon, which is always b'shus halover. It's eitzel halover. The lover didn't pay. The lover didn't pay again. So because it's always b'shus halayva, so the malva says it's okay, leave it b'shuscha, you don't have to pay. So it's kind of with the kinyan chotzer. So that's a big question. The debt, right? It's not kind of the matveya. He doesn't have the matveya, but the chov is munach etzlov b'shuscha. Yeah, the milva means the coins on the haitzon. Let's say he spent the cash around, right? But the chov is there. So the chov is b'shuscha. So the loiva is kind of with the kinyan chatzis. That's the difference that the Machne Ephraim raised. Let's say I left the gifts in your backyard, and then I call you up and I tell you I left the gifts for you in the backyard. It's yours. You should be kind of with the kinyan chatzis. You say no, I don't want to be kind of with the kinyan chatzis. The Tosfos says in Cheskes Sabbat and Chatzer Shalad Mikana Lo Shalom Midaito Nachon. Correct. It's kind of Shalom Midait, but it's not kind of Bal Korchoi. If the fellow knows that it's in his chatzis and he doesn't want to be kind of, so you never kind of Bal Korchoi. The only kinyan you have Bal Korchoi is Yerusha. If the father dies and he leaves the Yerusha, so the din is that the children get the Yerusha Bal Korchoi. And the Pishnaim also not. Pishnaim he doesn't get Bal Korchoi. Only the Chelik Apshit. But other than Yerusha, you don't get any. You don't acquire any ownership Bal Korchoi Shalom. So that's what this disciple explains, that those are the two tzadim of the Machne Ephraim. If you should say that Mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan, it doesn't need an additional kinyan because you always have the kinyan chotze present. You always have a kinyan chotze because the chov, the abstract chov, is munach b'shusa eitzel halove, so to speak. So b'shusa shal halove, so that's the kinyan chotze. So chotze isn't kind of bal korcha. If the guy says, I don't want, so it's not kind. But if you say that the mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan is not because there's a, not because you always have a kinyan chatzah, but rather because I'm misalik myself from the chayit. So then it has nothing to do with the other guy. I removed myself. The mother removed himself from the chayit. So then even bal korcha shel aloiva would also be good. The other sheet, the third sheet, is the Rash and Mishnayis Trumas, the Rash holds the Mechila is Kipira, and Mechila ki his Kabalti, that whenever the Malve is Meichel to the Loive, the Mechila cancels the debt because it's considered as if it's Parua. That's the famous Machloikis between the Rash and the Balei HaTosfos. Tosfos, we learned Tzumas last year. On Chavtes on the base, Tosfos has their famous thesis, a long thesis. Tosfos develops the whole idea that there are three categories of mammon. I think we spoke a little bit in the meaning of Sanhedrin. You have mammon and you have knas. Oh, this has to do. Okay. This is right, you have Momen and you have Knas and you have Kapara. The three different things. He has Laman of the days. The long Taisus says, Zar Shaach al Truma. The Taisus is Mechadesh based on a Gemara. They're quoting all Gemara. There are three categories of Tashlumin. There's Momen and there's Knas that we spoke a little bit about in Rav Gimel. And then there's the third category that's called Kapara. Where do you have a Chi of Momen that's neither Momen nor Knas but rather Kapara? The Gemara says Kofar. If the Shura Amu Adhara Gesa Adam and the Bala Shura has to pay Kofar and Kofar Yusha Solo, so the Gemara in Bava Kama comes to the conclusion that Kofar Kapara. Kofar is not Mammon and Kofar is not Knas, Kofar is Kapara. So then Tai says, what's the difference? Whether you label it, whether you label it as Mammon or Knas, makes a difference. Maybe the Knas Potter, other differences. But what's the difference whether you label something as Kapara or you label it as Mammon? The Tosfos rattles off six differences, all Gemaras. They shoot the keys, they give Gemaras. So one of the six sources is a Mishnah in Truman. The Tosfos claims that that's what it says in the Mishnah. The facts are like this. The Mishnah says that a Zar Sha'ochal Truma the Mezes is punished with Mitzvah B'Day Shaman. That we know. A Pasuk. Mezah Bo Ki Yichalu. A Zar Sha'ochal Truma the Mezes is Mitzvah B'Day Shaman. What's the din of a zarsh? And what's the din? And the truma doesn't belong to him. The truma belongs to the client. So he's a ganav. So you have to pay for the truma. You have to pay for the truma. You can make out a check. Let's say he drank a bottle of wine of truma that belongs to a client, and the bottle of wine sells for $10. He has to make out a check, $10 for the client. And he gets the punishment of Mitzvah B'Day Shaman. What if he drank the bottle of wine b'shogeg? He thought it was regular wine, and turns out that it was truma, and he's not a client, he's not allowed to drink it. So Zar Shachal Truma B'Shogeg has to give Karen the Chaynish, not enough to give the $10. You have to add on Chaynish. Chaynish means $2.5. But when you give the $12.5, the $2.5 is 1/5 of the sum total. It's not the way we would call it, the 20% of $10. 20% of $10 is $2. It's not $2.5. It's 25%. 25% is what the Chumash calls Chumash. Because when you pay the whole thing, the Keren HaChomesh together, so the Chomesh is going to be one-fifth of the sum total of everything. So when he gives the Keren HaChomesh to the Kohen, he's supposed to be giving him wine. He's not supposed to make out a check, not supposed to give cash. He has to give Dabar HaRoi Liyos Kodesh. And when he gives it to the Kohen, it says in the Chomesh, V'nasam HaKohen Et HaKodesh. So what it means is, first of all, Dabar HaRoi Liyos Kodesh. You have to give him Chulim Mishukonim. You give him wine that's Chulim. And when you give it to the Kohen, Tashlum in Nasim Chumim. The wine is converted into Chumim. And it becomes now Kodesh to Kedushas Chumim. And if the Zayr will drink that wine, that Zayr will be Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. And if he drinks that wine, B'shurigit, you'll have to give Keren HaChomesh on that wine. So that wine, Mamish, is Tashlum in Nasim Kodesh. So the simple reading of the Mishnah is two different prokin in Chumim, because it's called one parak after the other. The Mishnayis are drawing the contrast between Zar Shach al Shumah B'Shoigeg and Zar Shach al Shumah B'Nezid. But in Zar Shach al Shumah B'Shoigeg, he is Keren HaChomesh. So Achal Shumah B'Nezid is only Keren, he's a Ganes. He doesn't pay Chomesh. Number two, Tashlum in Nasim. Number two, he has to give Dabar HaRoi Liyos Kodesh. If he ate B'Shoigeg, he has to give Dabar HaRoi Liyos Kodesh. He can't give cash, he has to give Peiris. And the Tashlum in Nasim Shumah. The Peiris that he gave, the Yayin that he gives, after he gives it to the Kohen, it's converted into Truma. It becomes Kodesh Kedushas Truma. As opposed to the Zar Shach al Truma, the Mezid is not Chayiv Chomesh, he's only Chayiv Keren. Nitam Ganef, Nitam Nazik. And then the Keren that he gives doesn't have to be Dabar HaRoi Liyos Kodesh, doesn't have to give that wine, doesn't have to give Chulam Mishukonik, he gives cash. And when he gives it, it's not the Kodesh. It doesn't convert into anything. Even if he gives wine, it won't become Shuma. So these are the three differences between Zar Shach HaShem and Shegeg as opposed to Zar Shach HaShem and B'mezid. Then the Mishnah has a fourth difference between the two. If he's Zar Shach HaShem and B'mezid, if the Kohen chooses to, by mistake I drank this Kohen's wine, this particular Kohen, I had a bottle of wine, and I didn't realize that it was Shuma. I drank the whole thing. So I drank it B'Shegeg. So if he's decides to be Meichel to me, Ene Yochalimcha. The Mishnah says, the fourth difference. If the Kohen wants to be Meichel, he cannot be Meichel, but if I drank the wine that made it, and the Chiyuv to pay the $10 is only Mitam Ganef or Mitam Mazik, it's not Mitam Kapore, but then it says in the Mishnah, if he wants to be Meichel to me, he can be Meichel. And if I drank it B'Shegeg, why can't the Mishnah says, and Rotzok and Limchel, Ene Yochalimcha, why not? The Tosafot says, there you have it. That's the pshat. There's no other reading in the Mishnah. The reason why the Kohen cannot be Meichel, when it's Zar Shach HaShem of the Shegeg, is because there's not only one case of Kapara, namely Kofar. When the Shor HaMor kills an Adam, he says Kofar Kapara. There's another case of Kapara, namely a Zar Shach HaShem of the Shegeg, that he has to give Keren HaChomesh, Tashlum and Nasim Shuma, that's for the Kapara purpose. He needs a kapar because he did an aver b'shegig, which if he would have done it b'meis, it would have been mechayiv him misa b'dei shamayim. So he needs a kapara, so he has to give the tashlum e chumah and tashlum e nasim chumah. So that's his kapara. So since the time is his kapara, so the kohen is not a balabas to be mutter. That's what Tosafot mechadish haklal. There's no mechila on kapar. But the Rasha Mishnayis writes he never heard of this. He doesn't believe that it's correct. Rasha is also one of the balei Tosafot. He says he doesn't think it's correct. And the reason why the Mishnah draws a contrast between Ochal B'Shegeg and Ochal B'Nezid is Zash Ochal Truma B'Shegeg and Yotzah Kalim Kaleinu Mechel and Zash Ochal Truma B'Nezid and Yotzah Kalim Kamechel. He says there's a different reason. Mechila works even on Kapor. Mechila works on everything. But he says, what's the philosophy behind Mechila? Why is Mechila in the Tzich HaKinyin? So the Rash says, because you don't need a kinyan because mechila is a form of piron. Whatever the malva makes up, however he wants me to pay him this money, is a satisfactory form of piron. So he says he's in the middle of putting on his talit, he told him, so just leave the money on the table and it's okay, I'm in a rush. So I put it on the table, I did what he told me to do, so I made it accessible to him. So if he'll say to me, it's okay, you can keep it in your pocket. It's okay, you don't have to do it, leave it in your bank. You don't have to give me anything. Whatever he's satisfied with, that's the definition of piro. So the Rash says, when can you say that whatever activity satisfies the malva constitutes a piro, that's if the Torah doesn't require a specific form of piro. But here by Zashachal Tumah B'Shoket, the Torah says you got to pay in this specific form. I can't make out a check and I can't even pay him in money. I have to give Dafko a bottle of wine. You have to give Dovah Haroi Liyas Kodesh, and by paying it is Tashlum Inatin Kodesh. So what do you mean? Whatever the Malva sets up, whatever the Balkhaif sets up as satisfactory, it will be considered a Piro. And how does it, the Torah says there's only one acceptable form of Piro. You have to give a Dovah Haroi Liyas Kodesh. So the Rash denies this whole Chiddush of faith. He's masking that there are three types of mammon. There's mammon, it's not in the kapara, and there are other nafkaminas, but this nafkamina is wrong, and the Chilu story is wrong. The rest of the story is the Beferish Gemaras. The other five nafkaminas are Gemaras. But this nafkamina that about Mechila, that Taisis saw in the Mishnah in Trumas, that the Rash says, I don't see it at all. It doesn't say that. That's because Taisis did not understand like that. Taisis holds that Mechila, Enes Yechekinyan, it's either because it's a kinyan chatz or because it's a tzilus. They don't hold us in this last chesed. The mechila is a form of piroi. And the Rash insists, no, mechila, the reason why mechila is a kinyan mechila is a form of piroi. But it's only by medvah mamon. When can you say mechila is a form of piroi? If the halacha allows any form of piroi, all forms are acceptable. But if the halacha insists on one specific form of piroi, namely to give davar haradi as kodesh, you can't say mechila can substitute for that. The guy self didn't give a Dovah HaRoyli of Kodesh. So that's the big machlokes in Rishonim. Why? Yeah, they all subscribe to what Tosfos said. Mechila is with a kinyan. There has to be, one of the riots has to be good. Tosfos brought so many riots. They brought an awful lot of riots. So the premise is correct and Mechila is with a kinyan. The question is, what's the reason? So the Rishonim have explicitly three different reasons. And there are enough kinyanis in the dina between the various reasons. Okay. Yeah. We already started this study on Vav on the day. The Gemara has the topic of Pshara. The Gemara has the three opinions of the Tanan. That's the first Tanan, on the first line on the day, second line. Ablazer ben Asher Yisagludi says, Atalik Soya. If a Dayan was approached by Baladinim to judge as in Torah, and he's going to recommend to them that they should go for Pshura, that's a violation of Ivus HaDin. That's against the Din. If the Dayan was not approached, Aaron HaKohen was never approached because his brother Moshe Rabbeinu took care of all the Dinei Torah. Aaron never did that. Aaron didn't do anything wrong by recommending to the Baladinim maybe they should go for Pshura, but encouraging them to do a Pshura. But Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever he was approached, he was approached to make a din Torah. So this Tanar Ablaz and Moshe Rabbeinu said, really holds, it's forbidden for one who is approached to serve as a dayan to try to recommend the pshar. So we don't accept that opinion. We pass him that it's mutal l'tzora. And then there's a further machlokes, and that's how we pass him mitzvah l'tzora. That's the top line on Zayin Amin Aleph. The Gemara says, what's enough to mean between Tana A and Tana B? Yes. Or said the difference is it a mitzvah or is it a reshut? That's what we pass them. It's a mitzvah. Well, what's a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to offer them the option. Not a mitzvah to twist their arm. It's a mitzvah to offer them the option. Would you prefer to have a pshara, or would you insist, or would you prefer to have a din? It does with the three opinions in the imam. So the first Tana is here on the bottom line on Vav and Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, it says, Shem Shadim Mishlosha Kach Abitur Bishlosha. It doesn't say Osir, it holds Mutter, but it doesn't say Mitzvah. It's neutral. It says it's permissible to make it to offer a Pshor. It doesn't hold Mitzvah. The Gemara quotes later, another Tana holds Mitzvah this way. Yeah, this Tana who says that it's permissible to make a Pshor, but he has a condition. Nigmar Adin, Iyata Rashoy Litzoy. After Nigmar Adin, then you're not allowed to recommend a Pshara. What does it mean, Nigmar Adin? The Gemara asks on the bottom, three lines from the bottom of Vav on the day, Techi Dami Nigmar Adin. That top line on the Omud, that line in the Tosefta, Nigmar Adin, Iyata Rashoy Litzoy, What does that mean, Nigmar? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ish Ploni Yata Chai, Ish Ploni Yata Zakai. So the simple reading of the Gemara certainly sounds like it says that the Nigmar Din means Nigmar Din. It doesn't say you are your Chai and your Potter. Nigmar Din, that's what Taisa says. The simple reading of the Gemara certainly sounds the way Rashi understood it. Yeah. The taste is nigmar din. Another day, the taste writes v'loshen hashas muchach ken gavadai. Absolutely, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like Rashi. The Rashi writes on the taste nigmar din she'omru. The Bezna has already declared he's plenty after zak, he's plenty after has. Taste finds that hard to believe, even though that's the simple reading of the Gemara. They say it's hard to believe. What do you mean? If the Bezna already said he's plenty after zak, so they already gave up zak and din. So how can they issue another psak on the same case? Of course he can't be Atar Asher Lefter. The whole binding force of the pshar is that it's a psak desdin. It's not a psak of din, a psak of lefter Yishu Asher Din. But if they already issued a psak of din on the case, the case is closed. What shall I have another psak? Of course, goodbye. Of course it's finished. And that's why, that's what prompts Tosfos to reinterpret the Gemara. How does Tosfos say, Nigmar Din? The first is on Vav and Beis. Nigmar Adin, Kigon Shekva Diktiku Bidin Heitev Kemo Gomru Es Adin. They're almost finished. Not that they already gave it my Din. They're almost finished with the Din. The Lo Mechuser Elo, they're only holding by declaring Ishplani Achad and Ishplani Apazaka. So why is it, so what's the reason why you can't do a Pshara? It's not because the Pshak of a Din was already found on the case and you can't have a Pshak of a Mechim Shavet Adin. No, they didn't give the psak yet. They had a whole shot with the tariya. And they came to the conclusion that they didn't notify the baladin yet. So that's not yet called the gemar din. So why is it not permissible to have a pshara? The kedushin is bar kol kach, ain't lahatos lachus pshara. Since the mamish holding by the end, shon mali hoyedesh, shon is bar din aliskus lohim, it's rat to the pshara, bishon minyan. Sometimes in court you have like that. There's a court case between two people. And one person is suing an organization, let's say, a company, whatever, and then the company lawyers are afraid they're going to pay, they can sue them for millions of dollars. So they want to make an out-of-court settlement. So sometimes the lawyers are negotiating on the out-of-court settlement the same time that the judge is deciding how much he has to pay. So if they agree to the settlement, they said they agree, they'll pay them instead of the $20 million that they're asking for, they're paying $500,000. And then they find out that the court was prepared to award them $15 million. Wow. So what they settled for $500,000 for? That they would have known that the court, the judge would have given $500,000. Yeah, but they didn't know. They didn't know. So that's Maisa Mechoyah. That's the way they do in the courts all the time. They try to, the lawyers trying to make it out of court settlement, and sometimes the people lose their fortune and money because the court would have awarded them much more. But on the other hand, it could have been the court would have awarded them much less. So that's why Allah suffered their prepared. So that's what Taisha said. But if the Bezdin knows, the Bezdin is holding, Kemishin is Baradin, Kokak, the Bezdin knows what the Maskon is. Not that they know the general direction where the Pesach is going to go. One Tana says in the Gemara, when you know Lehechan Adin Noita, here on the first white line, you have all these narrow lines on the first wide line before the lines again become very wide. Then the first medium sized wide line. The Gemara says, before you hear the case, you didn't hear enough details in order that you should know even which direction the psak is going to be. But then the din is, you're permitted to recommend to them, why don't you go for pshara? Once you heard all the details and you already know what direction, you don't know dollars and cents exactly, but basically it will take you a couple of hours and you'll be able to figure out what the amount is, but you know the direction, so yeah, it's going to go in that direction, then he holds, it's not permissible, it's not permissible to recommend short. And he gives the same shear. Next time it says, Reb Shimon ben Lakish or Reb Shur ben Lakish, on the first very wide line. Shtam Shibol lefenech ledinech rak veechad kosher. I see one of them is a baldin kosher. He's gonna aggravate me. If I'm gonna give a psak against him, I'll never hear the end of it. The atchula tishma divrehem. If you didn't hear the case yet, oshe tishma divrehem atel lehechan din loite. You don't know who's right. You didn't hear enough details to know who's right or wrong. Or you didn't look it up in Shulchan Aruch. You heard all the details, but you really don't know the din. You have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. So you don't know which direction it's going to go. Could be his direction, could be the other direction. So then you're allowed to say, look, I have no time for this. This is too much for me. It's going to be too time consuming. But once you heard enough of the case that you know even what direction the court, the psak is going to go. You just don't know the exact amount in dollars and cents, but you know he's going to have to pay A, B, C, D, he's going to have to pay for all of that. You have to find out the details to the extent that this pusher is going to be not exactly this amount, that amount. But I know already, general, more or less, I know what direction. So then the din of Leisagur Mipnei Yesh sets in. So what's the tzara shove between the two? I mean, that's called Haskolas Adin. That's called Haskolas Adin is Yishetishma Devem Ati Yodel Hechan Adin Noita. After Haskolas Adin, then there's a din of Leisagur Mipnei Yesh. You're not allowed to be afraid. If the people come to me, a gangster comes and he wants to have a din Torah with someone else, and I'm afraid to get involved. So he says, you're not in violation of the agreement, if you say, I have no time. If you tell a lie, say, I have no time. The violation of, he claims, that's Tana. Rabbi Shurman Loki says, the only time you're in violation of the agreement is if you're in the middle of the Dintara, there is already a Haskola. That's the definition of Haskola. Not the Yadel, Echan Adin right there. So then that's Haskola Sadin. So then the law of the agreement is dead sin. And then you have the halacha, also the psoya. You're not allowed to recommend shor. But before that point, that's not called haskolas hadin. So, and the first time it disagrees, the first time over here says, up until the mardin, you can recommend shor. So what does that mean? So that was the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, up until actual the mardin. After you say, ish plomi atachai bishplomi atazaka is mit mardin. Finish. So then, he can't give a pshar. He can't give a different stock. The case was already closed with the stock of this. And Tosfos says, no, it can't mean that. It's not cheetah. You don't need a brisa to say that. It must be. Shikvadiktiku bedin hated the kamogomer, the holding by banking the gemardin. Kimish is about to say, what's wrong with it? The old you're allowed to make up pshar even after Abdel Lehechana did not. So what's so bad if you're holding by the very end? You're holding by issuing the psak? No, that's a pshar b'toy. And malaha yadesh and his bar dino is first lohaya misrat to the pshar b'shamini. You can't force a pshar down their throat. You have to have the haskama of both parties for the pshar. And here the haskama is b'toy. Because if he would have known that the bezim was ready holding by quitting him, by being mizak in him, b'kovakol, so he would never have agreed to the pshar. So on this gemara, there's a famous Tosfos. It says on the side to look in the Tosfos in Bava Kamma, Daf Samach Tes Omer Aleph. Tosfos in Bava Kamma has a very long discussion on our Gemara. That goes as follows: the Gemara has a din. The Chumash has a din that a Ganes always pays Kefal, a Gazlan only pays Karen, and a Ganes pays Karen and Kefal. And sometimes the Ganef not only pays Karen and Kefal, he even pays Dalet Vehei. What's called Dalet Vehei? If Tovach U'Mochar, if the Ganef either shechts or sells the Behema which he stole, so the Torah says, Chamisha Bokei Sham Tachas Hasor, Abetzon Tachas Hasor. If it's a Behema Daka, he pays Arba, and if it's a Behema Gas, a Behema Shor, then he pays Chamisha Bokei. This Dalet Vehei, the Chamisha Bokei, the Arba Bokei, Abetzon Tachas Hasor, this includes the Karen and the Kefal. The Karen, let's say the Behem is worth $100. The Karen is $100, the Kefal is another $100. And the Dalet Vehei is either another $200 and another $300. You add that up to the first $200, so that's $500. That's Chamisha Bokei. So the Gemara quotes a brisa and Bava Kamma Daf Samach Tes, which says something about the following shaila. If there's already paskin, let's say they caught the garment, the witnesses came, they testified the guy, he saw the behema, and he tried kefa. And doesn't make them pay the kefa. And yet he pays the kefa. Then he goes in the shech to behema. That case like that. Let's say he stole the behema, it's worth $100, and he stole it, and he still has it. And then the Baal HaBeim says, hey, give me back my behem and give me the ketel. So the guy says, and if I give you a $200 check, he's okay. He says, okay. What do I need the behem for? Give me a check, $200. He gives him a check, $200. Then he goes and he chefs the behem. Or he sells the behem. So the Gemara says he doesn't pay Baal HaBeim. Why doesn't he pay Baal HaBeim? You already paid him for the behem. No more behem. Finished. You agree that if I pay you a check for $100, you'll accept that the din is Eisha v'chagzela Asher Gozlan. You have to return the original din. You have to return the behem. And you can't say I'm going to pay you $100 instead. But if the nignav agrees to accept $100 and the kind of wants to use the behem, what he's stealing for, he wants to use it. He thought he's going to get away without paying $100. Now they caught him. Okay. Now the quarterman has to pay $200. Okay, so he's going to get away without paying even $100. So now the quarterman is paying $200. And the nignav gives him permission if you want the behemoth, the shechter, it's his behemoth. He's not doing an aveir now when he shechts the behemoth. He has the right to shecht his own behemoth. So then the gemara, so that's obvious. Once he already pays the sharing with the ketel, it's obvious that he has the right to do whatever he wants with the behemoth. So the story is over. He's no longer a... It's not called a ganef who's tovah hamachar. He's no longer a ganef. He's a former ganef. As it on his record, he's a former ganef. But right now, he's no longer in the state of an end. So the Gemara has that right. So what happened? He didn't pay the $200 check yet. The Bezdin, the witnesses testified in court that he stole the behema. And then the Bezdin paskins, you have to pay him $200, $100 for Karen, $100 for Keiko, and then they add on, but say Tenlo, and go give him the behemoth, and go give him the Keiko, give him the money. But then the Gemara says it depends how the Bezin worded it. If the Bezin says, say Tenlo, and then later on the Ganef will be Tovah HaMachar, then the Ganef will not be Chayes to pay Dalai Behez. You only have to pay the Karen the Ketel that the Bezdin tops him on him. You only have to pay the $200. But if the Bezdin never said say Tenlo, the Bezdin only said Ishtloni Atazaka, Ishtloni Atachaye, he's not self understood that what it means is that he has to pay $200. But since the Bezdin never made that actual declaration say Tenlo, they just said Ishtloni Atachaye, you are obligated to give him back the behem and to give him back an additional $100, a check for another $100. But since they didn't say Tenlo, it will be Tovah HaMacha later on, it'll still be Chayef to pay Dalai Behez. Why should it make a difference whether they said Tenlo or they only said Ishtloni Atachaye, Ishtloni Atachaye? There's a big machlokes from Tosfos and Bava Kamma on Adaf. And that's Samach Tes. That's what they tell you to look. I am Tesis, but the Kama, that's Samach Tes. It's much more at length than the other Tesis. Tesis and Bava Kama is a very long Tesis. The Tesis, as a Machloika, is Bali and Tesis. What is this din all about? So some Rishonim understand the Gemara has a statement that Hamisha Boki Shalom Tachas Hashor V'Arba Tzon Tachas Hashor. You pay Dalet Dehei, you never pay Beis V'Gimel. You never pay Beis V'Gimel. What do you mean you never pay Beis V'Gimel? The Tzom Yishanim say Beis, you can only make it to my din on Dalet Dehei, you can only make it to my din on the extra Beis or the extra Gimel together with the Gemar Din on the Karen and the Kesel. Once they make it in Gemar Din that you have to give him back the behemoth, you are a ganef. You owe him $100 of the behemoth, give him back his behemoth, give him another $100 for Kesel, so they can include in that stock and that Gemar Din, and you owe him another $200 and an additional $300 for the Tavach HaMachar for the Shorba set. But if the Bezdin already gave a Gemar Din on the Karen and the Kesel, and then later on you want the Bezdin to make a separate Gemar Din on the base of the Gimel, they have no right to do that. Dalet Behem Rachmona Velo base of the Gimel is a din of Pesach Din on Bezdin. Bezdin doesn't have the right to make a separate Gemar Din on the Ganas that he has to pay base of the Gimel. They can only make such a Gemar Din agar in conjunction with the Gemar Din on the Karen and the Kesel. if that's what the Gemara is saying, and the Gemara, the Bryce and the Gemara draw a distinction between Seitan Lo, and Ishtroni Atachay, Ishtroni Atazakash. We see that if he said Ishtroni Atachay, that's not yet a Gemara did. And he said Ishtroni Atachay, that's not a Gemara did. It's not a Gemara did. Only if they say Seitan Lo. What's the difference? Why should make a difference? That's what half of the Balei HaTeshuv say. Ishploni atazaki, Ishploni atachayv is not a Gemara Din, up until the point of Seitenla is a Gemara Din. So once the Bezin said, on the Karen and the Kefal, Seitenla, that's a Gemara Din. So then they're unable to make a separate Gemara Din later on the base of the Gimel. So you can only make a Gemara Din on the base of the Gimel in conjunction with the Karen and the Kefal. Agav the Karen and the Kefal. So if you say like that, then the Gemara Bava Kama is making a statement that Seitenla is a Gemara Din, Ishploni Atachayv, Ishploni Atazaka is not a Gemara Din. So how do you read our Gemara? The top line on the Daf says, Gemara Din, you're not allowed to make a pshar, then the Gemara says, Hechigami, the Gemara Din. They said, Ishploni Atachayv, Ishploni Atazaka. Ishploni Atachayv is a level that's lower than Seitenla. That's like Chayv Atalitanla, no? Chayv Atalitan, the same thing as Ishploni Atachayv, Ishploni Atazaka. I said, the Gemara in Bava Kama says, that's not a Gemara Din. How come over here it says, Hechigami, Gemara Din? Ishkolani Atachayv. So the answer is like Taisa said. It doesn't have to be Mamish Nigma Din. If you're holding Radiktiko Vizin, Heite, the Kamo Gomorrah Adin, they're practically Kemat, they're up until making Nigma Din, and that's a Haskama Vitoris. That's a Pshara Vitoris, because the guy would have realized that the Bezin, when they recommended Pshara, had already known Kemat, they already knew what the Gemara Din was going to be, they just didn't declare it, so that wasn't right on their part. That wasn't, that's not right, they shouldn't have fooled the man into accepting a Pshar. So that's one opinion in the Rishonim. That our Gemara, you have to say like Taisus. You can't say Nigmara Din, Yatar Asher Lev Tzor says the Gemara Din is here already, if he says, he's plenty after Zakr, he's plenty after, that's not called the Gemara Din. The Gemara says, Bav Kam, it's not called the Gemara Din. So the Bezin says Seitenla. But then Tosfos has the other opinion there, and that gigantic Tosfos in Bava Kama Daf Samach Tes and Aleph. But the other opinion, they say, what are you talking about? There is no such halacha. What do you mean? You can't make a Gemara Din on Beis V'Gimel without making, unless it's Agav the Gemara Din on the Karen and Kefal. Why? Today he stole and he stole in a fashion of Geneza. We have the Yadim come and testify, so they make a Gemara Din, then he has to give back to the end, and he has to pay the Kefal, and then if he goes ahead and he checks it tomorrow, we'll make a Gemara Din, and the Gemara is a dollar, what's the problem? The only time you can make a Gemara Din is, let's say, if the seller already made out a check, the Bezin says you have to give him back the original Geneva, $100 behemoth with an additional $100, and then the Nigna says, well, if you want, I'll sell you the behemoth. You want the behemoth? I'll tell you. Give me $200. You owe me $100 for the payment. Now that you stole it, so the halacha says you got to pay your kefal. So I make. So the guy makes out a check for $200. He pays. After he pays, he bought it already. So he bought it. So then, if he checks, tell him, of course he's not signed. So that's what other Rishonim learn pshat and Gemara like this. Ish plani atachad, ish plani atazaka. Is a Gemara Din. Of course, it's a Gemara Din. Like an our Gemara, hechad amik Gemara Din. And there is no such din, there is no such halacha that says that Bezin has no right to make a Gemara Din on the base of Gimel unless it's Agav the Gemara Din on the Karen and the Kefal. There is no such halacha. You can make a separate Gemara Din on the base of Gimel. The halacha only is, what if the Ganav already did a Hashavah? What if the Ganav already did a Hashavah on the Karen? Let's say the Ganav stole the behemoth and then he gives it back to the Nignav and then he goes and he shechts it. Let's say Ghana stole a behemoth and he has a kinyaganeva, and then the witnesses caught him, and then the police catch him and they arrest him, and then they make him give back the behemoth and he gives it back, and then after he gives back the behemoth and then they release the guy from jail, then he goes to the Beis HaNignav and he shechts it in the Beis HaNignav. So he's not chayv dalz behemoth. When he gave back the behemoth, that's already a hashover. Once it's a hashover, the original ganeva is all over. Now he never made a kinyaganeva, he just walks into the backyard of the other guy. He shechts his name, he's an Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik pays keren. Adam HaMazik, you pay how much the animal is worth, but you don't pay dollar behead. So that's what the other Rishonim say. If the Bezin said, Ish ploni ata chag, ish ploni ata zakai, that is a Gemar Din. But that's not called a Hashavah. That's a Gemar Din. But if Bezin says, say, Temloi, it's considered, since Bezin has the power of Hefke, Bezin Hefke, if they want to, they can take away my ownership, they can take away my property, so even though they're not taking anything away. But if they declare, say, Temloi, so it's considered as if Bezin had already taken the animal and given it back to the Nignav. And then if the Ganav continues to sheft it later, that's like shefting an animal that's no longer a Genuva. That's the reason why you put it. But it's not that you're not chayiv to pay. It's a totally different shot from the first opinion in Tosis. First opinion there in Tosis and Baba Tam Dav Samach Tes Ov, that it's a halachin that Dalet Veheom Rachmanav La Beis V'Gimel is a halachin Gemar Din of the Bezin. Bezin only has the right to paskin a Gemar Din on the Dalet Vehei if it's all part of the same Gemar Din. But if they already made a Gemar Din on the Karen of the Kefil, then they're going to have to make a separate Gemar Din on the Tzavach HaMach, on the Beis HaGimel. They have no right to do that. So that sheet in Taisvis is forced into assuming that Ish Ploni Ata Zaka, Ish Ploni Ata Chayv is not a Gemar Din. Only Tzei Temlo is a Gemar Din, because the Gemar made the distinction. The Gemar said if the Ganef has the Bein, and doesn't say Ish Ploni Ata Chayv, and he goes and he shechts it, he's still going to be Chayv Dal Vehei. But if the Bezin already said Tzei Temlo, and he goes and he shechts it, then he's not going to be Chayv Dal Vehei. So that day in Taisus assumes that that's the pshat in the Gemara. That it's only considered Gemar Din if you say Tzei Tenra. So what does it say over here in Agmar? Hechidami Bardin is Ploni Atachai. So that's the Hechreach, like Taisus says. It's not to be taken literally. The halacha doesn't depend on after Gemar Din. It depends on. They're so close to the Gemar Din, they're very close to the Gemar Din. But it doesn't mean only if they already made the Gemar Din. And the other day in Taisus says, no, that the Din of Dalad Zehe Al Nachman of Allah Beis Vigimo. It's not a din in the right of the Bezin to give a Gemar Din. The Bezin can't make a Gemar Din on Beis V'Gimel unless it's Agav the Gemar Din on the Karni Kefal. It's not true. The verse is, if the Bezin, the Gemar Din is, he's plenty at the Chayef. That's the Gemar Din. And they can make a separate Gemar Din on the Beis V'Gimel later. If the Ganav will shef it later, then they can pay the Beis V'Gimel. The verse is, if the Bezin says, say Temler, it's considered as if they took the animal from the Beis HaGanav and they put it. And the Beis HaMafkid is if they took it from the Gadaf and they gave it back to the Bailer. Because Bezin has the power of Hefke, Bezin Hefke, and if they said an extra sentence, say, Temloi, the Gemar Din really is Ishploni Atachag, Ishploni Atachzaka. So if they said more than that, it's considered as if they took the behemoth from the Beis HaGadaf and they gave it back. They did a Hashover. Look, they did a Hashover already. So then the Gadaf doesn't become Chayiv Dala Behe by just shechting. It has to do a new Maisa Geneva. But if he didn't do a new Maisa Geneva, he just goes and he shechts the behemoth, so then he's not going to be Chayiv Dala Behe. So that's the big machlokes or Rishonim in Tosfos and Bava Kamma Daf Samach Tes. Does it really say there in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, what's the double machlokes, what's the nature of the din of Dalet V'Heo Machmona V'Lov Beis V'Gimel? Is that a din in Gemara Din? Or is that a din that once you did a Hashavah, then you're not Chayiv Dalet V'Heo for doing a Geneva? Unless you do a new Geneva all over again. That's one machlokes. Then the other machlokes is, what's the definition of Gemar Din? Ish Ploni Ata Chayv is already a Gemar Din or no? It's only called Gemar Din when you say Tzei Temlo. The Gemara quotes this pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Yud. It says, "Abatzeh Beirech Nietz Hashem." So the first Tana, Rav Lezer ben Oshav Yosef Lili, thinks that it's Osel Tzoy. It's forbidden for a Dayan to arrange for a Pshara. If they came to him for a din, he's not allowed to recommend to them a Pshara. So he interprets the Pasuk, one who praises the Dayan who recommended a Pshara is a Bidoyan of the Rabban Shalom, because the Rabban Shalom gave the Choshim Ishpa, the Rabban Shalom gave the Dini HaTorah. And you think that your arbitration is going to come up with something smarter than what the Rabban Shalom gave. That's Niyut Hashem. But one who praises the arbitrator is a Niyut Hashem. We don't pass him like that. We pass him that it's Mutal of Tzoyah. Even if it's Mitzal of Tzoyah. We pass Mitzal of Tzoyah. So what do we do with that pasuk? But say, Berach Niyut Hashem. The Gemara gives other suggestions. So one suggestion is, take the guy who robs money from everybody, right and left, Robin Hood, he steals from the rich and he gives to the poor, and then he goes down in history, such a charitable person. Yeah, a lot of charity. He gives some other people's money. From his own money, he doesn't give a penny. He steals money from others. So the Pasuk says, and they honor him at all the testimonial dinners, and he's the guest of honor, and Yeshiva is the Ganeth. So the Pasuk says, but say a Beirat, the one who praises this Ganeth in the testimonial dinner, is Neyat Hashem. That's a Bizoin Hashem. If you know that the money is stolen money, so you're not allowed to praise the fellow for giving it to charity, for doing the mitzvah. So that was one suggestion that the Gemara gave. Different pshat. So one of the pshatim was about a ganef who's mezalzel in benodim lachaver, but benodim lamokim, he's very ultra orthodox, he's very religious. So he steals flour. And he bakes the cake and cookies, and of course he's makrish challah. Shein onam lamakam, what's in Yeruday, he's very medactic. And chashim ishman aganeva, he's not medactic. So when this ganef is makrish challah, he wants to recite the bracha, shekabishonu b'misos v'tzivonu. On the hafrosh asaloh, so the pasuk says, ubotzei abeirach, the ganef who's about to recite the bracha when performing the mitzvah of hafrosh asaloh, niyet Hashem. That's a bizoyan of God. That he's doing a mitzvah baba aveira, so it's not proper to say a bracha. So that's a famous brisa the Gemara quotes here. Areza goes as Tor Shal Chitim Tchonim Afod Hirsh Malacha Ketz Mivarcha Hein Mivarcha Lamanayit. It's a little above Avera, and we recommend you shouldn't say any bracha on it. See, here is a Tesis, maybe we'll start tomorrow from this. Here is a famous Tesis. Tomorrow is regular shiur? I didn't read this. How many students here are in the Smicha program? So you're going to attend the Yom Yom tomorrow? Maybe. I'm not sure. That's 45, 12 o'clock. Doing the whole shiur? Look, I'll give a shiur tomorrow. Either the shiur may be a little late. The shiur may start. We'll try to give the shiur quarter to one, like usual. May start 15-20 minutes late. Okay. And if people have to attend, if it's expected that you go to the Yom Yom, so go to the Yom Yom. Listen to attention. Okay. So maybe tomorrow we'll have to start from this tesis. Chonav Afor. That's a famous tesis. The Ganeth is religious, but just he violates Menorah Mahavera. So if he's so orthodox, how come he doesn't know that he's supposed to be Makrish Challah when he mixes the flour with the water? Why does he say that he's Makrish Challah after he takes the flour? He's really supposed to be Makrish Challah from the very beginning. If he's really so orthodox, he should have already been Makrish Challah at the beginning. The Tesis explains he's a learned Ganeth. He learns that Yom and he knows that sometimes he's supposed to be Makrish Challah at the end. It's a famous thing. Thank you.